when I move to a new Android device, application moves, but all my personal data and history doesn't. Starting with Froyo, we'll provide an application data backup API that ISVs can take advantage of.
That's great.
And move the data along with the application.
One of the great things about Android is that when you get a new Android handset, it remembers your apps and reinstalls them, but not your data.
Messaging API.
Now, does put your background back and everything.
This is not a push notification API designed to compensate for the lack of basic functionality like multi.
So they're talking about Froyo version 2.2.
Okay.
A little rip on Apple's
We've done something very
system.
Clever I think you're going to love. As a developer, you can send a message to our servers, which will do very smart things, like collapse similar messages. Our servers, which will optimize for the latency of mobile networks and make sure that that message gets down to the device. But that's only the first step. We've done deep integration with Android, such that when you send a message, that message can trigger an Android intent. Let me show you how powerful this is. Let's go to a demo.
Apple was significantly missing
here on his laptop
yesterday.
Google Maps.
This is all about Apple.
In Google Maps,
or at least a response.
And he's using the Chrome browser, and he's added a Chrome extension. The Chrome extension is in the upper right-hand corner, and that sends it to his phone. So in the map, he's got directions. He's got directions from the Moscone Center to Google headquarters, and he wants to send that to the phone. What do you think happens? Do you think we send a text message that says this is the address?
No, Vic.
Do you think we send an email?
No, Vic.
Or we send an Android intent.
Of course you do.
In other words, when he says send a phone, the message gets sent to our server, gets pushed down to the device. The device kicks into navigation mode automatically. Keep your eye, when he clicks on send a phone, keep your eye on the Android device.
Watch the Android device.
So send
By the way,
phone.
That looks like a Nexus One. They were using an incredible
and on
yesterday.
On the Android device, boom.
Boom.
Right into navigation.
Boom.
How hot is that? That's how you do a device, cloud-to-device API. Let me show you another example. You're reading an article on the desktop. You think it's awesome, but you're out of time and you need to run. You want to keep reading that on the Android phone. Why don't you send that to the device, Matt? To the device? Opens up the browser, takes you right to that article. Not
this would be a good
to
time to have Gina here, unfortunately, because I'm not sure. Great? Sounds like, I don't know if this, I would guess this is going
to
be XMPP or something like
see
it.
What you're going to go do with this API. All right, let's go back
to the API based, but I wonder how those messages
you're
are
love
encoded.
This.
You're watching Tethering. This is something
that
the Evo does on 4G.
Like me, you have a plethora of devices you carry around with you. And that all those devices shouldn't mean added complexity in yet another bill. Right? You should be able to, at the platform level, enable tethering. And so now your Android device can, in fact, become a portable hotspot and really serve the needs of these other devices that you might have with you. In fact, let's show you a demo of this working. Matt has a Nexus One running Froyo. He'll go right into tethering and portable hotspot. He'll enable the hotspot. He'll give it a name. In fact, I
now the carriers will probably charge
Android,
you for this.
AP, and that hotspot will turn on. We'll give it a second there. There we go. Tethering hotspot is now active. Now he'll go to another device that doesn't have connectivity. How about that iPad?
I'm telling you.
And there you go. One bill. Isn't that beautiful? All right, let's go back to slides.
This is all about Apple, and the developers know it. You can hear the tittering in the audience.
Now, it turns out, do you know what the most popular thing people do with these smartphones? What do you think it is? Fairly obvious.
Google Wave?
They actually use the phone. The number two thing they do is they do text messaging. And the third most used application
Surf the net.
Is the browser.
You bet.
And so it's critically important
so just
for
to
us
recap.
To make the Android browser rock.
Second only to RIM, 1 billion miles navigated, 180,000 developers, 50,000 apps.
Well, I think you're going to love this. We have a 2 to 3x performance.
They're using a JIT compiler to get improved performance two times on the hardware, and also, you see, in the JavaScript as well.
Into Froyo. Now, the best way to show you how much of an advance
speed is huge, of course,
is to do a demo. So let's go and show you this fantastic performance boost. Now, we're going to do this demo with a number of devices. We're going to do three devices. We're going to do this demo with Froyo, a Claire, and an iPad. Now, here's the demo we're going to do. There's an industry standard test. In fact, there's a suite of 26 tests, the SunSpider tests, that really exercise JavaScript performance of all kinds. And when Matt presses start across these three devices, we're going to exercise each one of these 26 tests. As we complete one test, that little Android robot will take one breaststroke forward. And as all 26 tests are complete, we're going to complete an
They've learned a little bit from Apple. This is much more an Apple-like keynote.
Let's go and start this test. Let's see what happens.
You're watching breaking news coverage of Google I.O., their developers conference, day two. This will be the Android announcements. And I guess you probably want to watch the little guy swimming, don't you? And the TV announcements. So he's lapping. He's already lapped.
I really wonder if we'll be able to get that in the App Store. Oh, it's a web app. How great is that? All right.
You see how much faster the phone on the left is swimming.
Let's go back to slides.
They're pointing out the speed of Froyo. And that in particular, JavaScript rendering speed. Our thanks to Slingbox for making this possible, by the way. Use Slingbox to watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home. Now available at Best Buy to learn more. And to find an in-store demo near you, visit slingbox.com.
That's a pretty great accomplishment, one we're extremely proud of. Okay, we're not done. I showed you what's in Froyo, but make no mistake about our commitment to maintain leadership in the browser on Android. One of the ways that we're doing that is we're working with standards bodies to enable web developers to get capabilities that were formerly only limited to native access to the platform. What kind of capabilities? Well, think about the things that you can access on a device. Things like the magnetometer, the accelerometer. Think about things like the camera or being able to access speech. Wouldn't it be great if you could access this from the browser? We're going to show you a sneak peek at something beyond Froyo, an early development build that will give you a flavor of where we're going next. Let's go back to demos. Now, remember, we already got some of this work underway. Last year, we worked with the standards committees to introduce geolocation into the browser. And today, almost on all major modern platforms, you can make an API call from the browser, get location with the user's permission, and then do a feature like My Location right within the browser. But we want to do more. How about the accelerometer? What about access to the tilt and the direction of the device? Watch this. Isn't that great? Right within the browser.
Ooh.
All right. Nothing like that on the iPhone, is there?
No.
Have any kind of access
Google Maps
like that?
Will do that,
now,
but not the browser.
Another key feature that we've heard from developers that they want access
so
to.
So he's talking right now about the next generation
here,
of Android,
example,
which is called Froyo or 2.2, and the new API features.
But we'd love to be able to include a picture. Well, how do you access the camera from the
biggest story is a huge speed up.
Build,
these are browser capabilities.
Right into the browser, such that
but Matt a huge speed up overall in the
select if he wants to. It looks like in this
same
case,
hardware
it's not going to work. We'll give it one shot and we'll move on if this doesn't work. But you can access that camera capability right from within the browser, and we'll show you that in the sandbox later. It's great.
Oops.
Let's talk about another capability.
Demos don't always work.
But before we talk about that capability, let me remind you of what's possible in Android.
Gina's got her live wave
Google,
going with Adam Pasch, Kevin Marks.
Several years ago, really made a deep investment in voice recognition. You know, we recognized that the mobile device, because of its limited input capability, would be the platform in which people used voice input more than any other platform. In fact, we see a stunning number of queries being done on mobile devices where the input is a human voice. Now, just as a reminder of how fantastic our capability has become over the past 2 years, let me do a few demos, or more accurately, Matt, why don't you highlight a few cases?
Pictures of Barack Obama with the French president at the G8 summit.
Oh, he's speaking to the phone.
Boom. Look at that.
Boom. It does do a very good job of that. Do you use an Android phone, Eric, or iPhone?
Because yeah. This is so
fun. It does an excellent job of that, I have to say. And that's why Apple bought Siri, of course, is to do stuff like that.
Pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge at sunset.
These are queries you're likely not to type in, let alone get a response back in a few seconds. Isn't that great? And one more.
The point is that this is
Vineyards, Napa.
This is throughout the phone. This isn't just in the browser.
Boom. Now,
having the browser access to this is huge.
Phenomenal voice recognition that we're now shipping in Mandarin, Japanese, English, a number of languages, and that's constantly increasing. But what's coming next is also the ability to understand human intentions. We'll give you a very simple sneak peek at the kinds of things that we're going to enable.
Get that wave on screen there.
Well, they're really moving away from the device-specific applications, aren't they? They want everything in the browzer.
In this case, it's one way that Google can do it because they control the browzer.
There's many more intentions we're going to go build in.
But they're also pointing out that this is API. These are API calls.
Apple offers nothing equivalent right now.
Nothing like that. No. But we haven't seen 4.0. Well, I guess we've seen betas of 4.0. We kind of know what 4.0
this thing works. This is a web app. It's a Buzz web app. There's the camera from the browser. Boom, right into the camera. Isn't that great? And now we can post a picture and give web developers the same type of capabilities that you'd expect in a native application. Glad that worked. No need for you guys to visit the sandbox.
So that's been missing piece of Buzz, actually.
Getting back to the speech demonstration. What we showed you.
Do you think they're implying a level of hardware abstraction so that you don't have to call the camera and all that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It'd be an API call.
Here's a web app. It is a Translate app from Google with one new feature. You'll note the microphone right there at the top. Matt, if you could just point to the microphone. There it is. And watch what Matt does.
They're loving, in the wave, they're loving Vic.
Can you help me find the nearest hospital?
Again, this is Siri-like natural language. Wow. That's in the that's Google Translate in the browser.
Wow.
It did a good job.
All right, let's go back to slides.
That's pretty impressive. You're watching live coverage of Google I.O. Day 2. We're talking about Android 2.2 right now. Froyo.
You can clap. I'll let you clap.
Leo, I can't seem to find Juno's live wave of this day. So where did you link from it?
You know, I love
it. It is, I think, on SmarterWare, but if not, I just went right into my wave and it's in my inbox.
But let me just make a point here. You know, we're not only committed to having the world's fastest browser, we're committed
Adobe
to having
the
world's most comprehensive
browser. A big player here. It's interesting. And this is a competitive point. I have a feeling.
People use Flash.
If Apple weren't so anti-Flash, that Google wouldn't be so pro-Flash. I mean, it really is. It doesn't fit their open mission.
You're inclusive,
but it's a strong anti-competitive point for them.
You know, this was driven home to me very powerfully when my daughter picked up my iPad.
The truth is, I can live without Flash in Air, but developers will like it, of course, because that means they can develop in Air.
They're really positioning themselves as the platform for developers. I think Apple's
absolutely
really in trouble in that.
Absolutely.
Regard.
And well, that's what they need to do because that's where Apple's strongest. Apple's not in trouble in the sense that they make money for the developers. You know, there's a strong
isn't that great?
App store and at least until Froyo or Android takes over
a
larger user base.
Thanks to Adobe. For their
but this is a strong number two, right? This is a company that's coming on strong.
And especially with those native API calls from the browser and hardware calls, it's like you don't even have to have any kind of approval process at all. You just write an app and it's immediately on the web.
Now, the problem is that unless somebody's coming to your website with an Android device, your stuff's not going to work. That's a mixed bag.
Now, we've also made significant improvements in the Android marketplace. We've listened carefully to the feedback that we've gotten from
more
developers
porn
and from users, and I think you're going to like the enhancements. Let's talk about what we've done. On average, our data shows that users are installing more than 40 apps on their Android device. And so finding those apps is a challenge. Also, they want to search within the data of those apps. They want to move those apps to the SD card, and they want to update all without having to update each individual app by themselves. Let me show you through a series of demos what we've done here. Let's go to demos. The first demonstration we're going to show you is just searching.
We're
going to
get Kevin Marks in here.
And now,
on this.
With the quick search box, we've made it trivially easy to scope it to apps. So as soon as you start typing a letter, why the app you're looking for just comes up. It's a simple and easy way to go find apps. Not only can you find apps, but we've improved the quick search.
This is something
box
the iPhone
so
kind of does.
Developers
pretty well,
can
in
plug
fact
into the search framework.
They're showing
in
the search
case,
bar right at the top of the screen
icon
at all times.
Is for Mint. Mint is a financial application. And now you're searching within the data of
you
that
can go,
application.
You press the search button on the handset to do that.
Records. We think developers are going to
you can put a search bar. There's a widget, so you could put it on top of the
Android
screen if you want.
Usable,
but you have the
but
choice.
Their own applications be surfaced, discoverable, and more fun and engaging for the user. Another issue we've heard is people want to take advantage of the openness of Android, the ability for you to plug in an SD card with arbitrary amounts of memory. And they want to move apps not just in the internal memory, but off to the SD card. 2 points. We've enabled that capability in a secure way with Froyo. But we've also made it so that the user never has to worry about it. When they install an application, we'll intelligently look at the space and, if appropriate, move it
to
the
quick search box.
If the user wants
Adam
to
Pash
get
is pointing out
and
is Nicholas Jitkoff's work. He's the guy who did Quicksilver on Macintosh
case,
and did the quick search box for Macintosh application on OS X.
From the internal memory onto the SD card. And there you
this
go.
Is huge. This is something that's missing, and it's actually a big gap right now in Android is that applications install into the phone memory and cannot be run from the SD card. This is something they've needed. They're really addressing a couple of real flaws in Android, even 2.1. Speed, of course. 2.1 doesn't handle memory right. There's a bug. And doesn't allow you to put apps on the SD card.
We got to go.
The ability to do that, of course, is something it should have had from day one, and many other phones do have.
So with an app on an SD card, where can you take it? To a different phone? And it's just already like...
Well, really, it's more just so you have more storage, right? Because you've got very limited internal storage on the phone.
Oh, the next one. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All functionality.
So this is really a response to that.
That's you.
But yeah, I guess you could.
He's easily distracted. All right. Today, you have to update each application individually. In Froyo, we've made it simple. At the bottom of the Android marketplace, you see the Update All button.
Ah, finally. This is something that's been missing. Something that's been in the iPhone all along. It's really been missing.
I'm kind of embarrassed you had to clap on that. The glad is there. We've gone one step.
You've had to go one by one to update your applications.
Have to take any action.
And this is a big deal on Android because applications update much more frequently on the iPhone than on the iPhone because you don't need permission to update. So you'll get some apps updating weekly. You don't have to get through Apple's approval process.
You don't have to worry about this at all. Let's go back to slides.
It's about time.
Another key feature we're adding in Froyo is designed to meet the needs of developers. We want the best apps on Android, the highest quality apps. And that means we need to close the loop when there's a problem. Let's go back to a demonstration here. And I'm going to show you an app called Crashy. It does exactly that really well. It crashes. And so, Matt, why don't you start the app and it crashes. Now, note that there's a button there now called Report, and the user can press Report.
Dr. Mom points out that most apps tie themselves to the phone. I'm sure a paid app won't, in fact, be transportable from SD card by SD card.
Make sure they're comfortable with that data, and then they can hit Send. And that is sent back to the developer. Note on this screen, the Android market.
Again, this is a developers conference, so a lot of what they're going to show is to appeal to developers.
When you click on Bugs, we will show you those reports for your application. And we will show you the entire stack.
Interesting, using Safari on a Mac, not Chrome. Although Chrome is running.
So having already seen most of the iPhone OS 4, do you think Apple could really come back with anything significant?
No, it's too late now. They're already in their third or fourth beta in OS 4, and they're probably coming out next month with the phone. It's good timing for Google to announce this now.
Very good timing.
You know, there are reports today that the next generation of Android, 2.3, is going to come out in Q4. So they're in a very fast development cycle, which is, you know, in some ways uncharacteristic of Google, in some ways characteristic. You know, when they want to work fast, they can. And then you see things like Buzz, which just don't get updated for months. You know?
No, Apple's in trouble. I mean, everything that they're demonstrating is exactly filling in gaps that the iPhone has left wide open.
Well, and that's what happens. Of course, that's where competition happens because when you have a number one product, then people can aim at you, right? So nobody stays number one very long if it's a market that, you know, people are interested in. And I think this is good for users because the features that they're going to add, the features users are asking for and developers are asking for. There'll be more applications.
Yeah, he's a little weird.
And then Apple will presumably respond. Apple's cycle, though, is a little longer now. They're year to year.
Like, yeah. Nutter, butter, nutty, buddy, something, whatever. He, like I said, he's weird.
Google may have the advantage here because they're using Linux, because they are open. They may be able to develop faster.
Now, hold on, Matt. Hold on.
Yeah, Apple has such a small group of developers working on it in-house, whereas I guess Google's is...
It's open source.
It's everybody
can
contribute.
On some other systems.
Kevin Marks is saying, yeah, this is what we want.
You then have to tether your device. You have to then, once it's down on your PC, you have to then convert it over that tethering to your device and then make that sync happen. Well, guess what? We discovered something really cool. It's called the internet. And when Matt presses download, keep your eye on the Android device.
There it is. So
over
that's
here.
Fantastic. You can install from a website into the phone. That's fantastic.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And again, this is something that, you know, Apple is tied to iTunes. So you can kind of, you know, you do that through iTunes, not over the air. Apple does not have Wi-Fi syncing.
About to show you.
He didn't say whether that was over the cell network over Wi-Fi.
Android is really opening everything that the iPhone has closed off.
Exactly, exactly. That's a fantastic feature.
Matt, why don't
you can
you
say boom again, Vic.
Song you like. And why don't you just send it
Vic's
to
really really feeling his oats today. This is the keynote he
and
wanted
boom.
To do.
This should have been
Keep
yesterday's
your eye
keynote.
On the
he did. He just said boom.
There you go. There's the music coming right on down to your device.
Trademark Steve Jobs, Apple Computer LLC. That was over 3G. All right. Well, that's a huge feature. Huge feature.
Now, we're not done yet. Some of you may be thinking, this is really cool, this is so hot, but I have all my music already on my device at home.
Oh,
my
boy. Windows if they have Wi-Fi syncing
library,
of music, huge.
I've got thousands of songs there. What
so now you can buy apps and music from the marketplace.
Well, we recently acquired a company called Simplified Media, and it is our intention to incorporate that technology into the marketplace as well. And that allows you at home to run a simple piece of software that makes all of your non-DRM music available to your Android device. Would you like to see this?
Yes, we would,
Let's
Vic.
Let's go to your Android device. Android device has
over the
two
air.
Songs on it.
Now, obviously, you wouldn't do
That's
this over
nice.
3G.
But I want more than two songs. I want all
And
of
he is
music
on Wi-Fi, I should point out, on
so
that phone.
So Matt will go down and select. I guess he has to plug in the device so you can hear it.
Adoptions, touch 9.
What?
Okay.
Thank you for calling the fifth floor restaurant.
Oh, my God.
He's been on 11 minutes with the fifth floor restaurant.
Is that from a past demo? From a few
I don't know. But that phone's been making that call for 12 minutes.
Let me offer a public apology now. You know what's really odd is that they didn't pick up all that time. Wow.
Adam Pash says, oh, okay. Snap, I was looking at Simply Media's website last night. They're no longer available for download or in the iTunes App Store marketplace. So, big acquisition for Google.
All the music
Look at that. Holy cow.
You might be wondering, what just happened? We are making your home music library available to your Android device as a stream.
It's sharing.
So example,
okay, so that's
if,
using the
Apple
Zone technology.
Matt's an Earth, Wind, and Fire fan. Hit play.
It's using AirTunes?
Yeah. Unless you have to, it would be crazy for them not to. I mean, plenty of devices can do that.
Right now, you have to buy like a $100
or another Mac. Any other Mac could share an iTunes library.
Run on your iPhone, I mean.
Right, like to have it run on your iPhone. That's right. You can't do that on the iPhone, can you? You can do it on Mac. You can't do it on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And you can do it on Android. Interesting.
Let's talk a little bit about advertising.
Oh boy.
It turns out...
Remember, Google got AdMob.
We know a little bit about
Apple started iAds.
Today happens, or this year happens to be Google's 10th anniversary of providing
And again, this is he's talking to developers.
And
he's talking about money.
In that decade.
This is important to developers.
One of the foremost things we've learned is that if you want to have a healthy ecosystem of advertising, you need advertisers. And we have hundreds of thousands of them. That means if you have an ad spot, why, we have a relevant ad that can fill it. It's called inventory. We're not new at this game.
Gina says Vic is owning this room.
And charging them $1 million each to be part of our program. Okay?
So not a selectively
so we can
hand-picked
be your advertising partner.
Yeah.
We've also learned something else in that decade.
Well, you presumably got access to the entire Google ad
kinds of needs.
Ecosystem.
There are local advertisers. There's direct response advertisers. There are brand advertisers. And if you want to play, you need formats that meet the needs of those
Pat's
kinds
pointing
of
out in our chat room, this is a much better keynote than yesterday. It really is. It's interesting. And Vic really is doing the Steve Jobs today. He must have gotten some feedback from yesterday.
And that means it needs to have great tools. Why does it need to be measured? Well, you need to know if the money...
And Google owns all of this, of course. Google Analytics, AdWords, AdSense, and DoubleClick.
So you can invest...
You might as well add AdMob to this, too.
And it turns out that we have some tools you might have heard of called DoubleClick, Analytics, AdSense,
boom!
AdWords. The tools that the industry uses, knows, and loves are being extended seamlessly to work in the mobile environment. And finally, we've learned that it's important to be open to innovation. Now, I don't even know what the ponies have to do with this slide, but but part of being open is that when you get
That's
a designer who
this,
gives you a slide,
this
you
is geeks.
It.
This is geek stuff. My Little Pony. I love it.
Let's show you each one of these
that's,
4 points.
That's the geeks. He's talking to the geeks
and
now.
Go to demo.
This is something Jobs would never do, of course.
Does the iAd platform offer
now? These are real ads.
That level of
real applications.
Stats.
Let me make that point clear.
I don't know, but I would imagine so. You almost have to.
Available in the Android marketplace. At the top, you're looking at a Google ad. Our ad program, which has been available only to a limited number of beta participants, is called AdSense for Mobile Apps.
AdSense for Mobile.
And you're looking at one of those AFMA ads. You're looking at our large inventory of text ads being optimized and served on that.
So I guess it will pull from AdSense.
Of the small space that we have, and you're seeing the nice rotation. But that's just one ad format. What happens if Matt selects something like beaches? Well, then we can serve a contextually relevant ad. In this case, Kayak is a popular website, an application for travel. But in this case, when you click on the ad, we take you to deep within the Android marketplace so that the user can download the app. Okay, that's another important ad format. Let's show you another.
Yeah, that's probably true. Robert Bigelow points out that
a third format.
Steve's never going to play to the geeks because geeks are too bloody-minded to become
an advertiser has displayed
uncritical Apple fanboys
through an image. We support that. How about another category? And this is something that we're announcing available today. And that's an expandable ad format. One of the things that we've seen through our research is that users, if at all possible, would like to stay within the context of the application they're using. So in this case, when Matt selects that Volkswagen ad, it expands right out. You can look at that ad, and when he's done with it, he can simply make it slide right back in. And we think that's great for advertisers, and we think that's great for users. That expandable format is available today. Let me show you another brand new one we're making available today. This is an expandable ad format. This is a Flickster application. And why don't you expand that ad out? In this case, it's not just display, it's rich
video.
Media.
This is direct response to Apple's iAd platform. Very similar.
And they're even beating Apple to the release date.
And the movie
this is
will go ahead and start.
Yeah, interesting.
Matt, don't watch the movie.
Apple is like, what, like this fall? It was pretty far out, wasn't it?
Let me show you.
I don't know. I guess it's in 4.0, so it might be sooner, but... They are definitely beating them.
This is also an expandable.
You're watching live coverage of Google I.O., the second day keynote, and a very interesting keynote covering right now the next version of Google's telephone operating system. Oh, I should say operating system for mobile devices, really, Android. This is version 2.2 he's showing, and codenamed Froyo for frozen yogurt. We know breaking news coverage on This Week in Tech, and the network is brought to you by Slingbox. Use Slingbox to watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home. Now available at Best Buy. Visit Slingbox.com to learn more. We love Slingbox.
And that's incredibly valuable. Let me talk about another ad format.
Might as well do an ad while they're talking about ads.
Format with a very clever twist. Matt, why don't you expand this one out? It includes a map.
So far they're really talking about new API features in version 2.2 of Android. We weren't here at the beginning, so I don't know if he said anything about availability yet. Carriers, of course, will have to push it out. It can come out pretty quickly on Google's Nexus One. I suspect Verizon's going to try hard to get these updates out quickly.
Now, some of these features you said will be available today, so I guess maybe they're rolling some of
today
these out.
If you get before 2.2
or possibly into the 2.1, you think?
I suspect first of all, developers are going to have to include this in their application, so available to developers today is probably what he means. And there's a little freeze on the stream. We're watching this on YouTube. If you want to watch it without our comments, and I would understand that, you can watch it at youtube.com/Google Developers.
You're seeing an immersive ad format delivered by a great advertising company called Medialets. But because the publisher, because the advertiser, excuse me, the
Medialets ISP, the developer, is the technology here.
To serve the ads, DoubleClick is open to have any ads show up. And that's what it means to be open. That we serve the most relevant ad to the user, sometimes from Google, sometimes not, but you, the
Kevin Marks says in the chat room, choice. Or the live wave, doing right, direct comparisons is one thing. Adding a snark to every feature makes him look defensive. It's
you
true.
To learn more about our advertising solution.
You know now who Google's worried about.
That's right, yeah.
Google.com.
Well, you kind of guess it, but...
I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Actually, Steve Jobs is pretty snarky, too. I mean, almost every feature he ever rolled out
point.
Was a dig at Google or
point.
Microsoft
yeah.
or somebody,
yeah.
Adobe.
All 5,000 of you. And we're going to sweeten the deal a little bit. If you go sign up, we will give you $100 free advertising credit to start learning the system and
we'll
advertise
use that.
Your apps in the Android marketplace. So please, go try that out.
Did you say we'll use it for Twit things?
I think we would probably use that, yeah, for the Twit app.
One of the most powerful ways to demonstrate what I talked about at the beginning, that innovation comes from all levels of the stack, is to highlight one of my favorite devices. This is the device by HTC. It's the Evo device.
Ah, the
now,
Evo.
There's several things
Mine's
I love
coming
about
any day
device.
Now.
One thing I love about the device is it's absolutely
fact,
gorgeous.
I'm hoping it'll come today.
4.3-inch screen. I also love how fast it is.
I'd love them to say it's going to ship with 2.2.
I love the Sprint network. It's a 4G network. You know what a 4G network can do?
Boy, some Sprint love here.
10 megabits per second. Imagine what you can watch on this device at 10 megabits per second.
If you live in one of the 27 cities that have it.
Has a great little stand. So you can just set it on the desk, or if you're on an airplane, just set it right there and watch your content. It's got a great battery. It's got HDMI output. It's got a camera that's 8 megapixels, and that will do 720p.
This is interesting. I think Google's really kind of backing off on the Nexus One.
Is that in partnership with Sprint and HTC, Google is going to make this device available to every one of you today.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, they just won over a lot of developers. A lot of developers. Holy cow.
Every person there is getting one free?
They're getting a free Evo.
Wow.
They've already got an Android or a Motorola Droid. Gina's pretty happy.
Wow.
Wow.
For those of you who
is
are watching
right.
on YouTube, I'm sorry.
Adam Pash is
remember
unhappy.
To register next year. Quickly. I think you're going to love that device. We ask you to do two things. Number one, don't run out right now. After the keynotes are over, we're going to make it available all day until 6 p.m., so you'll have plenty of time to get
that's
this device.
Wow, well, what's the best Jobs ever gave away? An Apple Pro Mouse?
Yeah, no, that's pretty fantastic. They've already got a Droid or a Nexus One, and now they're getting an Evo as well. They're getting two phones.
Thank you for voting on the side of openness and choice.
Thank you for voting on the side of openness and choice.
Please keep building those great apps.
Gina's pretty happy.
Now, we're at the halfway point this morning.
The ticket is $400, she points out, but they got $400 worth of phones.
If you'd like to see the next step in the evolution of Android and where we're about to go next, hang tight. To introduce the next section, I'd like to invite up the product lead for a new initiative, Rishi Chandra. Rishi, come on up on stage.
You're watching live coverage of Google I.O. Day 2. Leo Laporte and Eric Lanigan at the Twit Cottage. We're watching the Google stream from YouTube.
Thank you, Vic. And thank you for all being here. We're going to have some fun today. I'm going to introduce you to Google TV.
All right.
A new platform.
This coverage brought to you by Slingbox. Thank you, Slingbox, for making this breaking news coverage possible.
A new platform that we believe will change the future of television.
I'm really excited about this one.
But
I am too.
Before we start talking about the future, let's talk a little bit about the present. I try to pull together a few interesting facts to just help convey how important TV is to the world today. So let's just go through those facts really quickly. First interesting fact, 5 hours per day. That's the average amount of time an American spends in front of the television. And in fact, people are watching more TV now than they ever were in the past. It's pretty amazing. Second interesting fact, $70 billion.
Holy
That's the
moly.
Annual advertising spend in the U.S. alone.
We're trying to get
on
just
TV.
1% of that
still
right now.
No better medium to reach a wider and broader audience than the television.
Wider and broader, yes.
And third interesting fact, 4 billion TV users worldwide. 4 billion. That's just staggering.
They showed us like yesterday that TV viewing was the only form of media that did not change, did not drop.
Or the PC market, which has a billion.
Right.
For a developer.
Joining us right now, Kevin Marks. Hey, Kevin, thank you for stopping by. We appreciate it.
And the reality is, it's nice to see you.
You've been watching the keynote from the comfort of your own home, as we have. Any thoughts so far? It's very compelling conversation about Froyo, I thought.
They've been showing some interesting stuff. I think Vic's been a bit heavy on the Apple dissing. But.
Yeah, you pointed out in the wave that it's almost a sign of weakness to be slamming a competitor with so much snark all the time.
I don't think they are weak. I think they're very
they're strong now.
They're doing, but it could be a little bit more gracious about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And actually, to many people, that's actually pretty comforting.
So just chime in anytime you want, Kevin. I don't know if they do these kinds of things in Britain, but we're just going to be Mystery Science Theater 3000 and talking.
Oh, they're happening on my mobile.
Recognize that idea.
PC. And that's really being driven by the web. Right? The web has completely transformed the PC space and much more recently transformed the mobile space with the introduction of the smartphone. But even
I'm sad today, you couldn't get a ticket, I would imagine, once you saw that everybody's getting an Evo.
I suspect that was why the ticket sold out. It's like, clearly, Vic's going to be Oprah again and give everyone a phone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Everyone said, oh.
But two phones. Two phones. They got a Droid and now they got an Evo. Yeah.
One for each ear, yeah.
My favorite sports, my favorite shows, my favorite movies.
This is an event for developers. You're a developer. At Ribbit, you do, in fact, a Google Wave gadget, and you've developed for years.
What ends up happening?
Do you think this is the kind of conversation, the kind of keynote developers get excited about?
I think that the stuff that Vic showed for Android was very exciting. I'm very happy about that. Bunch of new features. The App Store changes were very good. That's exactly what we wanted. The ability to browse the stuff, download it straight away, pay for it, and have it appear on your phone is exactly right and far better than what they had before. So there's definite steps forward there.
Yeah, and very competitive, I think, to the iPhone.
Yeah.
It's not a PC. It's not a phone or anything in between. So how do we actually start bringing these two worlds together? Well, I'll be the first to admit that we're not the first one to make the attempt on this, right? Many people have tried.
What kind of device do you expect here? An Apple
TV-style
device?
Will actually be connected to the web. But if you look at the data today,
sure.
It's still pretty limited adoption.
What would they do now hardware? It seems like they're more of a...
three reasons.
So you say the Xbox is limited adoption?
Today just haven't made much traction. They have three
limited
major limitations.
Compared to what?
First limitation. They all try to dumb down the web for TV. Here's the problem when you try to dumb down the web. Then you're effectively recreating the web. Does that sound familiar to people in this room? It's WAP all over again.
Yeah, WAP, which is the web, the small web browser.
And what we learned
is that web access protocol, something like that?
It just doesn't scale. Oh, maybe you'll get
it was a cell phone.
50 apps, maybe 100.
It was ugly.
It was very ugly. It was the only way a phone could render a web page for a long time.
Yeah, it all text.
Second limitation. They're all closed. Closed does not work anymore. Once a user experiences the freedom to go anywhere...
Quint, for those who want to watch the keynote directly, youtube.com/Google Developers.
Many of these solutions today make you choose between TV...
We really aren't in a position to just stream the...
user has to hit that
the Google keynote. We're trying to add content, if not value.
You've lost 90% of them because they don't know how to get back. And the reality
this is all pitch. This is all set up.
TV or web, they're going to choose TV. That's the experience they know.
So talking about bringing the full web to your TV with presumably the exact same interface rendering of a regular web page.
But how is the question? Is the Intel's wireless display? What are they going to use?
And the best of what the web has to offer today and bringing them into a single seamless experience.
I can't imagine them selling a box.
It really is about how do we make TV and web better.
They've got Sony and Logitech on board.
I'm very happy to introduce Google TV.
Let's see it. Remember, Google makes its money by getting you to use the internet more.
Where TV meets period. Web, and web meets TV. Now, before we dive into the demo, which I know you guys are all anxious for.
So you think Sony Logitech?
I want you to remember four
ways. Oh, well, they were part of the rumor from
weeks ago.
Yeah, so the box.
First.
And Logitech yesterday pledged support for that web encoder.
Less time finding and more time watching.
Well, Quinn, if you're on the go, we'll try to let you hear the important stuff.
Second,
how about that?
We're going to also show you how you can control and personalize what you watch and when you watch it. Third.
This is all sell right now.
We're going to make your existing TV content much more interesting.
We're waiting for the payoff.
And finally, we're going to make your TV much more than a TV. All right. So let's dive into the demo. And to do the demo, I'd like to introduce Vincent Dereau, my engineering counterpart and partner on Google TV. Please welcome him.
I wonder if they'll use a Wii-style remote. I can't wait to see how are you going to control the web from your TV and see it all. Are they going to...
Well, there's a big TV. That's a 60-inch screen they got there.
So why don't we turn on the...
Kevin Marks says he has a Mac Mini plugged into his TV. That's the way a lot of people do it. Right. And I think with that clicker.tv we saw it yesterday.
Well, that was a 10-foot interface.
Yeah.
Google TV starts with TV.
And there you go. That's TV for you.
But this works with your existing TV feed that you have already. The reality is users spend 4 to 5 hours a day in front of this device. You cannot take anything away from them. NBC you only can add and enhance it, and that's what we've done. So you can see here, you can do all the normal things you'd expect, right? I can change channels, I can access my DVR, I can access my guide, just like you expect. And I can even use your existing remote control to make that all happen. Now, what Vincent's using here,
what is this?
Is a special remote control that allows you to do is a universal remote control, but also can do a lot more. And to be clear, this is not the actual input device. We're working with some great partners.
I wish we could see it. All we're seeing is the TV output.
This is just a random wireless keyboard we're using for the demo.
Okay, so they've got a random wireless keyboard. So there must be some box.
The first thing you do when you turn on a TV is you usually want to find something to watch. Okay, well, generally how you do that today? Well, you use the guide. Yes, the guide. Now, the guide worked pretty well when there are a limited number of channels. Now that there's hundreds of channels, it works a little bit less here. But also, it's pretty inflexible. What if I just want to find out, what time is the next Giants game? Or show me all the upcoming episodes of Seinfeld. Just can't do it. And that got us thinking.
Now, remember, they have search for TV.
The navigation of TV.
They were trying that out with in-house Googlers.
Right,
and Dish, that's right.
Simple,
I remember now.
An elegant model.
Oh, jeez.
I can't control what's on TV.
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
Wait, do you think they'll superimpose a signal from a dish or cable company?
I can't figure out what they're talking about.
Some kind of cable card going.
The trial was with Dish, at least of Google's TV search.
Web has a very simple, elegant model how you find information. A search box that takes you where you want to go. You remember
this might be kind of a dud. I don't really see people as Adam Pasch is saying in the live wave. I don't see people using keyboards on the coffee table. I just don't think.
Same experience.
What was Microsoft's old thing? Web TV.
Yeah. I just don't see it. It's never worked.
Let's go ahead and.
I'd love to.
Sex in the City.
Keyboard is not cooperating right now.
Yeah, it's not. The demo's not working.
Yes. Okay. Trying.
I hate to say it, but this is a perfect application for the iPad.
Well, the good news is I have another keyboard.
Use the iPad as sort of a universal remote.
Yeah.
Browse TV. Okay. So you can do that now for Comcast.
If they have a Google tablet. Right, right. Comcast has an app.
Nope.
Kevin says.
Okay. It was maybe a little bit slow.
That his Comcast remote has more buttons than a keyboard.
No, let's switch to the other
box. Do you think, Kevin, people are going to want to sit behind a keyboard and a mouse on the coffee table? I mean.
Car for the GPS, we have to turn a knob to type something.
Yeah,
give me a keyboard or a screen or something I can type. We can live with that. I think there's too much defensiveness here.
Yeah, I don't understand this product, frankly. We'll see. It's not working at the moment.
I figured today would be a pretty safe thing to watch.
And he's basically using a wireless keyboard with, I guess, a built-in mouse to try to navigate it.
Although I think you're right, Leo. If they do create some Google tablets, that could be an ideal device to control something like this.
Yeah.
They already said that the keyboard is just a...
That's what they want to show, is a tablet.
Yeah, yeah. They said the keyboard is just temporary off the shelf for this demo.
Let's go ahead and try it. I don't know if it's switched over. There you go.
All right, here we go. Now we're seeing something.
All right.
Thank you for your patience. Okay. So like I was saying before, we want to enable an entirely new experience of how you find information.
Well, look at that. You're right. It's superimposed on top of the television.
Wherever you want to go, across both TV and...
I'm there, really? Not for the area.
It's simple to use as a Google search. So let me give you an example. So let's say, you know, one of my favorite channels is MSNBC. So let's go ahead and type in MSNBC.
I'm sorry. This is not going anywhere. This is ridiculous.
What you're going to see here, a variety of different results. Some from the web and some from TV. And you'll see, let's actually go down. It looks like MSNBC News Live is on right now.
I just don't get this product.
And it tunes you directly to your show.
It seems very 90s.
Yeah. You know, Microsoft's tried to get companies to cable companies to use a set-top box based on Microsoft's products for years. They finally made an Xbox 360 because they just couldn't get them to do it.
Actually, pull down the quick search box again.
What does this require? A little doohickey attached? This is not. I can't understand this product.
Wouldn't most people rather have a second screen, like a laptop or an iPad on their lap for doing searches?
What if they did the same thing they're doing with Android, where you search on your TV and it sends, or search on your computer and it sends it to the TV?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Right.
Use your laptop as an interface or a tablet.
Yeah, I really don't want to be doing this on my TV. And this must. Go ahead.
It's the mouse cursor on the TV. You know, I have this with the Mac Mini, and the mouse cursor on the TV is this awkward experience.
Right.
It doesn't fit well.
Not at all. Yeah.
We can search the entire web to help you find interesting content. So actually, I had a friend who recommended the show to me called House. Right, it's on Fox. So let's go ahead and actually pull down the quick search box and take a look.
Little House on the Prairie.
You watch. Let's see what he gets. House is kind of a generic word to search for.
It's finished to type it yet. No?
Yeah, the demo's still not working. I think that this is a...
You guys have a lot of...
not a home run here.
We're using Bluetooth. Oh,
Ken Shepardson just said that they're going to embed this in Sony TVs.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? It's got to come in the TV. Probably come in a dish box, I would imagine. It'll be part of the dish interface.
The other box.
But it's almost as if you're saying, we're gonna add some capabilities...
To
a DVR.
I'm sorry about this, guys. Again.
We have
add search to TiVo. Well, no. That's nice. It's not a revolution.
Why not partner with TiVo? You know, do people want to have another device they have to buy?
Right.
Want to try again?
He's really having trouble getting it working, too, which is not helping.
There you go.
It's very un-Steve-like.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
It was doing so well.
Let me try the query for House again.
See, what he's missing now are the snarky comments about the people who set up his demo.
I don't hear a lot of Apple snark right now.
Dynamic shifting right now.
The thing is, there are open choices right now, like XBMC and Plex. You know, there's a lot of good open choices out there right now to do this kind of a thing. The boxy box.
They said they did switch it. Okay. There you go. It came up again.
There you go.
So he's getting that Nicholas Jikoff's quick search box.
There you go.
I can't compete with you guys.
A little too much RF in that auditorium.
Trying not to fall off.
Let's see.
There you go.
I think it's a little.
Do we know yet where this demo is going?
Right. Switch to the other
what are they searching for?
They're going to search for House. At some point, they're going to search for House. It's a long way to go. See, then this is exactly the problem.
Voila.
Do you want to sit in your living room saying, come on, search for House, search for House? Or do you want to just freaking change the freaking channel?
Well, I don't want to do either. I wanted the DVR to record stuff ahead of time and play it later, which is what I do now.
Yeah, yeah. You enter a House into the DVR.
And why a keyboard? Where's that voice activation? They just showed in the
This should come off an Android phone. This should, you know, if my Android phone did this... Nicolas Cage's animal sex diet. They're really having trouble at this point.
Again, it can't help what's connecting.
Yeah,
This is an absolute car wreck going on right now.
We're going to change the channel one of these.
This might be the worst demo in history.
They were doing so well.
He was doing so well. Poor Vic.
It all just came crashing.
Flop sweat just springing out.
Let me see if I can pull this up again. Sorry.
Oh, this is painful.
Now, see, wouldn't you rather just speak your TV query into your Android phone?
Yeah.
Or better yet, just control the whole TV from that?
Wouldn't that be impressive if you picked up your phone and you said House, and the TV showed House? Then I'd be impressed.
Cool, yeah.
I have nothing.
or Record House
really
Weekly or something,
right?
And
phones,
delete
really
old episodes.
And I think a lot of this functionality is already built into Dish DVR and TiVo.
Well, at this point, they should just start describing what they had intended the show, because this is not just kind of crashing and burning right now.
Oh, Kevin, now, come on. A little too much glee coming out of Kevin there.
It's not glee. It's funny.
It's funny. And anybody who's ever done on-stage demos or on TV live demos is very sympathetic with Vic right now. This is not fun.
Yeah.
This is a very painful thing for somebody. And you got to decide at some point to move on.
Yeah, where are their backup devices?
1 second, sorry, guys.
Ken Shepherdson, this is what Vudu, owned by Walmart, is doing with LG, Toshiba, Sanyo, Samsung, and Vizio. So right, Vudu's already doing it. VUDU. Interesting. So Ken, you can come in and sit in if you'd like.
Keep connectivity.
All right. He's going to just hand me post-it notes.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, I'm going to keep trying. Again, yes. Sorry about this. Don't move.
Ah, finally. House.
All right.
Boy, that was a long way to go.
Sorry about that again, guys. Okay.
I have to say, this is making Hulu look good, isn't it?
It sure is. And, you know, you kind of wonder, why isn't Google doing that kind of a thing? And, you know, web-enabled TV watching. Isn't that the future, is a la carte TV over the web? Why isn't Google doing that?
Well, did you see in their search results, they showed Fox, Hulu, and Amazon.
Ah, so they are showing web internet TV. All right.
It looks like they're trying to let you find
it. Oh, yeah, look at that. There you go, yeah.
That's happened over the last few years.
Okay, so that's good. So cross-platform search, that's going to be key to IPTV.
On sites like Fox.com.
And this is one of the issues with IPTV is that you've got all these different sources for content, and it's very difficult to figure out where it is. That's what Boxy's trying to solve and others.
Because to a user, it doesn't
that makes sense.
Does Google have a stake in Clicker? That's not their own property, is it? They were showing
I think it was just a demo, but yeah, this would be a natural for Clicker, right?
Quick and easy access to it. So let's actually go ahead and click on one of them. Still not working?
So you've got television and online. You've got the distinction in those columns there.
We can see
probably an artificial distinction, but you could get rid of that later.
Record it in the future on TV. Or I can just go.
Look at that. You could choose from Fox, Hulu, or Amazon to watch.
Now what you're going to see here is we're going to go directly to Amazon's page.
Oh, that's interesting.
The transition from TV to web was totally seamless. I didn't have to get a digital remote control. I had to change.
I'd like to be able to search for content as well as titles, right?
The web became a natural extension of the TV
itself. Like genres, like search for tech?
Yeah, so what if they saw search for Google I.O. coverage and we showed up? That would be good news for somebody like us.
Yeah. Or I can just play a trailer. Let's go ahead and play the trailer.
And I wonder if they'll end up showing all search results or just people with whom they've partnered.
Ah, yeah.
I'm just watching TV.
I presume because it's Google, it'll search the whole
just like that.
Universe.
Right, it's being streamed directly to my television using a standard browser.
Yeah, I wonder what happens if you choose Hulu, because doesn't Hulu...
Now, I can actually go back...
I mean, what is Hulu? They don't want to be on a big screen TV.
Go back to the series page. Or I could, with one
button... So Chris in Malta points out, it took him 10 minutes to change the freaking channel. This is exactly what's wrong with computer TV and TV convergences.
The no iTunes in the search results, I noticed.
Yeah, good point.
But
good
just
point.
Like that, the TV and web became a single experience. Right? I can navigate between TV and web. I can get access to my favorite content in a very easy way. So search just makes things easier to find your information. But it's not the only way. Right? There are times when I don't know what to search for. I just want to lean back and browse. We thought of that as well. We can be much smarter about how you browse for your favorite content as well. So let's actually pull up the home screen. Now the home screen here is actually your quick launcher to all your favorite content and applications. And you can customize it as you see fit for your user. Now one of the things we've done is that we've actually worked with some of the content aggregators out there, like Amazon VOD and Netflix, to actually embed the experience directly inside Google TV. And we could actually work with as many as we need. So what you're going to see here is, let's go ahead to go to the Netflix folder. You can see this is actually a personalized view specifically for me. Here's my instant queue. Here's my suggestions, as well as what I recently watched. So let's go ahead.
It's a lot like Boxy, doesn't it?
Now, the great thing here is these suggestions are all based off what I've watched before on Netflix. So it's personalized. It's just smarter. And I can access all of this instantly, right? So I can go to 24. That sounds like an interesting show.
And Leo, you made a good point. Will this technology extend to independent content creators, or will it only be the big guys who really don't even need something like this? They've already got the cable boxes and
there's a ton of them.
Okay.
Well, if it's Dish, it's going to be whoever you can get on your Dish. If it's if it's a regular TV, I don't know how they do that.
But we can do more than that. The web actually has a lot more content than just your favorite TVs and shows.
Here we go.
Right? Over the last few years, there's been an explosion of compelling online video.
Aha.
Whether it be from long-tail content creators.
That's me.
Like you find on YouTube. Or professional studios like ESPN or CNN. Well, we can all make that accessible to you as well, which has never been accessible before. So let's pull down the quick search box again. And this time, instead of putting in a search query, let's type in a URL. Let's type in youtube.com. And we can go directly.
Mother's Day MILF. That's great. Right up top. That's great.
Yeah. Fitting in with the daytime TV's content.
Oh, Jesus.
And now I have access to
Which is worse, TV or YouTube?
And the great thing here is it's just as easy to go to any site on the web as it is to go to any channel on your television. Right? It's just seamless. It's just integrated. And of course, you know, we can go through. There's millions of videos on YouTube. We already showed you some interesting stuff on TV. Let's avoid the YouTube ones. But there's a lot of
great content. You're going to make some friends at the Googleplex.
But the cool thing here is it's not just about YouTube. We can go much further than just YouTube. And the other great benefit of the web is not only is it unlimited in terms of the video content you can get, we can actually allow it so that you can be much more personalized and have more control of your experience. So let me give you an example. So this might resonate with those who have young kids in the audience. So I have a 2-year-old son, and he loves to watch Sesame Street. Actually, let me correct myself. He loves to watch Elmo on Sesame Street. Right? He actively dislikes all the other characters, which makes it impossible to actually watch a full episode of Sesame Street. Well, thankfully, Sesame Street has solved my problem.
It's not Vic. So who is this?
Let's actually pull down the search box again.
It was somebody else. That's right. Ranish, somebody?
And here again, you're going to see different results. I can see Sesame Street's coming up on Friday. I can actually go directly to sesamestreet.org or actually even see a video on YouTube. But in this case, the top result is actually a bookmark that I've already set. The quick search box gives me immediate access to all my bookmarks. So let's go ahead and take a look at it. Now, Sesame Street has a ton of great, compelling video content. All the content they've ever had, I don't even know how many years Sesame Street's been around. It's all available for you instantaneously. But the really cool thing...
I'd be so much more impressed if this were an Android product
based off my
interfacing to my TV.
In this case, the interest of my son. So you'll see these are actually just Elmo videos.
And where's the feature to send a video to your phone?
Yeah, and then leave there you go. Well, they'll never do that.
This is one of my favorites.
That's just a recipe for piracy.
No, imagine buying it on Amazon, you know, video on demand.
Having it go to your phone. Have it go to your phone. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's where this is interesting because that's really what an open solution would do. And this is where Google is kind of bridging open and proprietary.
Yeah, a minute ago with Android, I mean, we saw them be the most open cell phone, smartphone platform possible. And now here,
this is really closed.
So far, they seem as closed as a Comcast or anyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing here.
Difficult for them to play both sides of that fence.
Right, this is something you just can't do on traditional TV today. Okay, let me give another example. So back in January...
It's a very different division that developed this product, you could see.
Totally blanked out when I got home and forgot that I had missed the State of the Union speech. You're always funny. Friendly ones. So I totally missed the State of the Union speech. I came home and thought, okay, great. I missed it a couple hours later. I'd love to watch it. But on TV today, I was actually basically stuck.
Right, and what's TV going to be the interface to browse the web showed and see, you know, very small text on the regular web from 10 feet away on your
right,
analysis
right.
about the speech, but not giving me the speech itself. Well, now that can change. Let's go ahead and pull down, again, the quick search box and type in 2010 State of the Union. And again, you're going to see a variety of different results. Here, there's one on YouTube. Let's go ahead and go to the web and actually check out what else is there. You can actually get text.
This is
the
very similar
itself,
to Apple TV or, I guess,
here,
the...
there's no web on Apple.
The hacked Apple TV, basically, with Boxy. And my Apple TV has a browser on it. It can do much of the same kinds of stuff. Yeah.
This is big. right? Because now I can access the content I care about whenever I want, right? I'm not constrained by thinking in terms of channels and shows. And sure, sometimes that content will actually be a show itself, but sometimes it won't be. What if I just want to check out the latest SportsCenter clip from last night's NBA playoff game? Or let's say I want to see the latest news segment on the Gulf oil spill. Well, now you can. You are in control of where you go on the web. And the great thing here is that none of these sites had to do anything specific to make it work with Google TV. All this content is already available to a million channels overnight. And it's all easily accessible by the quick search box. Okay, so now we talked a little bit about making search and browse much easier to help you find content, as well as how we can put you in control of what content you want to watch. But let's talk about how we can actually make what you watch on TV much more interesting, although in this case, it is pretty interesting already. So I'm actually a huge sports nut, right? I watch tons and tons. I'll watch anything. I'll watch golf, basketball, baseball, whatever's on. So in this case, the NBA it's NBA playoff time. So let's go ahead and watch an NBA game.
Yeah, this is nothing.
Now, obviously,
we haven't seen in any home theater PC, really.
Last night's game, which was a great game, by the way.
Yeah, so, they need to hurry up and get to what's different and new about this.
Yeah, I mean, Windows Media Center's done this for years, right?
I like to engage in the game a lot more as well. And I also play a lot of fantasy sports, which means I want to check out my fantasy team. I want to check out box scores. I want to check out latest player news as well. Well, what if I can do that directly from my TV? Well, now you can. So Vince is going to take the TV feed and put it into a picture-in-picture mode. And now I have open access to the entire web to find whatever content I like to match what I'm watching. So in this case, let's actually pull up the
box. Who would do that when they've got all these other screens in their house? They got laptops, iPads, Androids, you know.
This is not for us. I don't know who it's for, but it's not for us. It's not for a geek. But at the same time, you have to be a geek to kind of set it up, I'm thinking.
I can actually
If it comes in TVs, it basically is a competitor to Vudu. Or Yahoo Widgets, or there's a number of people doing this kind of thing.
And what's interesting here is this is a pretty simple feature. You can flip back and forth between the TV and the content.
Yeah,
I
do this on a screen.
But this is totally
a laptop
transformed
screen.
How
you
I
don't do this
sports.
on your big screen.
Now
TV.
When I'm watching
see the
mouse. Masters,
That's not what we want.
That's the problem I have with the Mac Mini as well.
Yeah, you got a mouse floating on your screen.
I can be watching American Idol and check out the latest Twitter stream of what people are saying about the contestants.
People already do that. They do it on their laptop. They do it on their iPad. This is not...
Right? On the advertising side...
It's not what they want on their big screen. I don't want this on my plasma. I'm sorry.
I can't do anything with it. Well, now I can just put it into picture-in-picture.
This is that confusion between the lean-forward and lean-back media.
Has a website.
And I think that this is...
every ad on TV has the potential to become interactive.
I mean, maybe I'm being grumpy. I don't know, but it just seems like this is not...
your TV content
nothing new and probably nothing anybody wants.
We hear they might be getting to something now. They just said that every ad on TV could be interactive. So
you know, great.
Please don't click the Charmin.
There's a whole bunch of other entertainment experiences that happen in the living room as well, where the TV can play a part, like music and games and social and photos. Well, what if you can do that directly from your TV? Well, with open access to the web, now you can.
Google.com/TV.
So let's go ahead and pull up the
home screen again. Is that active?
Yeah, Kevin says it's active now.
Let me try this.
It was coming. Give it a second.
Sign up for updates.
The keyboard will come.
So all you can do is watch a demo or sign up sign up for updates at this point.
Oh, they scooped their own keynote.
So let's try to go to bookmarks if we can.
They beat the demo.
Sony and Logitech as partners.
Yep. There we go. So let's go to bookmarks, and we can take a look at
Kevin
a whole
says,
bunch
is
of
this the one guy at Google who watches sports?
Ahead of time. What's interesting
he's
here
the guy
is
who laughed at the Sports Illustrated jokes yesterday.
I can also bookmark channels. Right? My favorite TV content.
Leo, I think their two-minute demo on google.com/TV is actually more informative than this entire keynote.
Oh, that's so funny.
So in this case, let's actually check out Flickr. Now, one of the interesting things here is that many people today would consider their smartphone to be the best photo viewer in their house. Right? Because it's just there and you can actually check out photos. I would argue
I'm not sure
your best photo viewer is that gorgeous 50-inch screen sitting today in your living room already.
Probably true.
And now...
This again is all stuff you can...
Which is why I have the Mac Mini plugged into it,
right,
so that it's screensaver set to photos. That's
right, right.
The best photo viewer.
And Apple TV does that.
And Apple TV does that. Yeah, it's just like...
And a hacked Apple TV with ATV will even do this precise thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure why slideshows got around.
And we can go actually way more than that.
They're desperate for anything at this point.
The slideshow is so much better than the TV.
Yeah, just please put up Italy. Just put up Italy. Anything.
All my Facebook games. Think of music. I can go to Pandora. I can go to Rhapsody. I can go anywhere. Any one of my favorite music sites. Think of shopping.
Apple TV does have Flickr. That's right.
Like Gap or Gilt or whatever it might be. The web is unlimited. And now your TV is unlimited as well.
So Google kind of planting their flag and saying that the web is good enough for TV as it is. It doesn't need to be have a different interface.
We talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to consider this in the context of YouTube and a play by YouTube really to be a parody with television networks. So that's something they would have to do this to make YouTube be a player, right?
And have they shown anything yet that shows why this is better than just setting up a net top or just a home theater PC just on your own?
Well, you can do almost all of this with Roku even. I mean, they don't have the search, but they have something coming that's going to add it. Your cable box, yeah.
Your favorite content, whether it be your favorite channels, your favorite shows, or your favorite web content. We showed you how you can control and personalize what you watch based off the capabilities of the web today. We can also make your TV content much more interesting by enabling hybrid scenarios between TV and web. And then finally, we can enable your TV to be much more than a TV. It can be a game console. It can be a photo viewer. It could be a music player.
You mean like the Xbox 360?
So, talk a little bit about how we actually all made this all work. I'll pass it over to Vincent, who can actually talk about it.
Gina's sure. Unboxing her Evo now in the audience.
I think everyone is.
Anybody here who watches TV. There's going to be TV sets, Blu-ray players, and companion set-top boxes. And they're going to be very easy to install because they're going to work with your existing cable or satellite box, no matter who your pay TV operator is. Okay, so what about the spec itself? Well, there are actually four key components to the Google TV hardware spec. Number one, Wi-Fi and Ethernet built in, of course. Number two, you're going to connect your existing cable or satellite box to the Google TV box using
a regular
HDMI cable.
This is like a Roku. It's a Roku. Yeah.
In addition, the Google TV box comes with
Apple's done so well with Apple TV
built in, which is what we're going to use for control. Oh, by the way, in addition to this, we've also implemented a special IP protocol between the Google TV boxes and Dish Network set-top boxes. And that's the configuration that we're using today, and it gives us really tight integration with the pay TV box.
Those don't have a phone in the house.
For instance, that's how I was able to do a one-click recording schedule. Number three, plenty of processing power so that we can browse the entire web. There's also going to be a GPU for enhanced 2D and 3D graphics.
Wow, it's a little computer.
And a dedicated DSP that can do video in high def and audio in surround sound.
This is something that is not in the Apple TV.
And then number four, there's the Google TV input devices.
Yeah, they're going to accelerate
the They're all going to include a keyboard and a pointing device so that we can actually navigate web pages. And our hardware partners have come up with designs that I think you're going to love. But let me tell you about.
So I wonder if this is an open
device that I'm carrying with me, and that actually today saved my butt, which is my.
It does work
Android
with his
phone.
Android phone. All right.
So it's actually, if we can get back to the demo, it's actually already paired to my Google TV device.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Well, they should have started with this.
It's actually paired to my Google TV device over Wi-Fi. All right, and of course, you know the feature about my Android remote is that I can speak to my TV.
Aha!
Let me show you.
Good. So the whole crappy demo was to show you how good it could be.
Yeah.
Good morning, America. There you go. Looks like somebody's typing that.
Okay.
That's much better. Well, it looks better now having seen the crap.
This was not Rishi typing in the background. Anyway, his keyboard doesn't work.
We know the keyboards don't work.
So now you know it's true. It was actually the Android remote, sending audio samples to Google Voice Search backend, Google Voice Search backend, sending a search query back to my phone, that then bouncing that query back to the Google TV box. And all this in real time, which I think is pretty cool. So let me show you something else. So Rishi here is carrying his own Android remote, which, by the way, is paired to the same box as I am, so that we can have two remote controls controlling the same box at the same time, so that we don't need to fight for the remote. And, of course,
that's interesting.
Rishi couldn't help it. While I was speaking, he was browsing the web, and he came up with a really neat website that he wants to share with us. So let me he doesn't want to share it on his small screen. He wants to share it on the big screen.
Oh, this is interesting. Now we're getting more interesting.
Well, let me see if the Wi-Fi is kicking me off back and forth. So let me see if I can.
This is getting more interesting. So we both have Android phones. I can share.
Let's try Wi-Fi in that room. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
On. Suddenly, everyone in the room now has three phones and a laptop.
That's a good point. They're all booting up their Evos.
Let's go ahead and take a look and see if I can
good luck.
Turn it on again and push it directly to the TV. This is.
Oh, now that's cool.
Voila.
Now that's cool. Now I'm interested. Okay, now I'm very interested. Oh dear. Oh dear. Poor Vic.
Wow. Rishi, that was a very special video that you shared with us.
Even better than what we're watching on TV before.
Of course. All right. So at any rate, this is just the beginning. Why? Because actually we're going to publish this IP remote control protocol so that you developers
can
build your own apps and your own remote controls on the device of your choice, be it a PC, a smartphone, or a tablet.
Very interesting.
Enhance the Google TV experience.
Now I'm more interested.
That's pretty much the story about the hardware.
That's good news. So an open spec to talk to the box. You still need a Google TV box.
Rishi, do you want
to
tell us about the software?
Yeah, can we pull back the slides, please? Although I'd love to keep watching this video. It's actually pretty funny. All right. So let me talk a little bit about the software. So the Google TV has three components to the stack. The first is Android. We are built on Android 2.1, and we'll be upgrading to later versions of Android over time because we have the ability to do over-the-air updates.
Okay, that's good.
Second, the browser. We are Google Chrome. We needed a full web-compatible browser to be able to browse everything that's out there. We chose the fastest. And finally, if you want to be fully compatible with all the
web videos, it's got to be a $99 box if this is going
to
be compelling.
You need to have flash.
What do you think the price point is?
We also have a full flash 10.1 plugin as part of Google Chrome.
Wow. That's why they got about GPU.
And that's the software. But one thing we haven't talked
about. I think 99 at the most.
Yet is Android.
I think, but can they bring it in at 99?
Of being built
that's
on
tough.
Android and Chrome,
I suspect they'll subsidize it a bit.
Web applications
maybe,
to users.
If they could put ads on it, it could be that freemium
Android
model.
Did they show ad
cool
integration yet? Did they show any kind of revenue stream
and just have it
possibility
work on my TV
from this? I don't
no,
think
but
they did.
I think you can bet that there is some.
Yeah.
We'll bring back the demo. All right. Left to the great page we just wore before.
$50? $199? I'm thinking $199 is going to be the best price point they could
quick search box.
Yeah, but at that point,
it's a little expensive.
It's like the price of a phone, though.
The price of my favorite websites or my favorite channels. I can also navigate to my favorite apps. So let's go ahead and type in Pandora.
Oh, that's interesting.
Market, actually, in this case. Sorry.
Look at that. So you've got a good surround sound system.
And now you're going to see the mobile version of the Android market.
Well, there we go. Look at that. That's bizarre. That's just bizarre.
Oh, so you're browsing...
That's the
Android
app
marketplace.
Your TV.
Yeah. If your application doesn't require phone-specific hardware, it should work on Google TV.
Interesting.
Now, let's go ahead and check out...
So write your apps for both.
Let's check out Pandora. We can do a search within the Android market.
Chris, we're selling Android-specific, phone-specific API.
But so let's go ahead and open it.
Very interesting.
And again, Pandora's done nothing beyond just the mobile application here. And
so you can install Android apps onto your Google TV box.
So you've got 1920 by...
So are they showing sort of a write once, deploy on any Android platform? Yeah.
He said as long as it doesn't use phone-specific hardware capabilities, yeah.
So the great thing, I mean, do you think that would include, like, the camera and
yes, obviously, yeah. But if you're writing Pandora, you don't need
mobile
to.
Mobile applications.
Obviously.
And what's incredible here is that now my TV can be, again, much more than a TV.
So now if you're a developer, you have to develop...
But another cool feature that I wanted to
not only for multiple phones, but for a TV interface. But that's desirable.
About taking the mobile version of the Android
market...
Especially
people only have to buy your app once and then run it on all their devices.
To actually do this demo, I'd like to bring up Brittany Bonet, a member of the Google TV team, to help out.
Yay, Brittany!
You know Brittany?
Yeah. She's good.
Okay, I'm just going to log in here real quick.
Okay.
This is starting to get a little interesting when you interface to Google Phones.
Logged in, okay.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and pull it up. So, like Vic showed you earlier
today.
What
is Rishi holding? Is that a...
You can take...
That's just a clicker for the slides, I guess.
And push it to your different phones. But you can also push it to other Android devices. In this case, you'll see on the top right, we actually have Google TV.
It's first woman actually, in 2 days on the stage, by the way.
Assuming we're on the second box now, mm-hmm. Vincent. So we might have to switch that.
Gina was commenting on that yesterday.
Yes.
Try other TV.
Okay.
Just scroll over it and let's just make sure it's on the second one. All right, let's try this. We have different TVs connected, so we'll do this in real time. But let's go ahead and take a look at the Twitter app.
Last thing I want is Twitter popping up on my TV.
So here why don't we go back? I think it's the other TV if you go to the top right.
Okay.
So the second one. Is where it says
now,
other
of course, I doubt any of these apps are optimized for the 50-inch experience.
This is what I'm thinking about. Yeah, it's like this app that was designed for a phone that is now running on something that's like 2,000 pixels square.
Well, and Pandora looked horrible.
Give it a few seconds.
You know, panels are getting so cheap, especially lower quality ones. Do you think we'll ever get to a point where people have one screen that's just their TV, and then rather than like superimposing, changing the view, they'd have a separate screen that's showing these, you know, ancillary things,
right.
Their Twitter.
Well, Microsoft did that. Remember with the PCs, they had the little tiny screens attached.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Didn't really catch on. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Now we can create enhanced experiences around Android applications as well. And what's compelling here is not only can users now have consistent application across multiple
devices.
Adam
Pash is pointing out this is the first time Android and Chrome have been paired.
You can now have additional devices to take your application. And now we can also enable you to create entirely new experiences.
Chrome is not the browser on the Android phone?
No.
Oh. On Google TV.
Is it Google's own?
Optimized specifically for
the
living.
Yeah, it's Google's own, but it's not Chrome.
And we're giving you
two
application frameworks.
I don't know if it's WebKit based.
Web apps?
Sideshow, that's right, Kevin.
Now,
Sideshow.
We have some work to do.
That was the Microsoft.
So the Android market
screen
and
product,
the
little LCD screen.
Era, I don't,
shortly after
not so long ago, a few years ago.
But to give you a sense of where the platform is going, we want to give
came
you
out
a
with Vista.
So
it's 5 years old.
Oh. And to do that, I'd like to introduce Ambrish Kange.
Android's browser is WebKit based, okay, but it's not Chrome. Boy, Brittany didn't get a lot of time on stage.
No, what did she show?
She had another TV.
Thanks, Rishi. Today, I would like to talk about...
At this point, you'd assume that Google is entirely staffed
with the Google TV platform
by East Indians.
Showcase a few example applications and websites. First of all, you can optimize for the TV screen. Well, most websites, as you would expect...
And one woman.
Many applications...
But now Colleen,
on Google
so
TV
there'll be two
as they
women.
Are.
Yeah, the percentage of white women
just
went up
100%.
Up a lot.
...guidelines on how to quickly enhance your websites for a great TV experience.
Nothing wrong with that, Web 504. I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing it out.
Very different than Apple.
That's the beginning.
Yeah.
We want to empower the developer community to create
South
integrated
Asians.
Experiences
okay, thank you.
Across web and TV content.
Stand corrected.
And to enable that, we will provide you with a set of web and Android APIs, which will allow you to navigate TV content. For example, you can directly
this is the Google TV.
To a TV channel that you like.
It's built into
or
a Sony TV.
You can record
TV.
A TV show. All directly from your websites and applications. Let's look at a few examples. First, I'd like to invite Hunter Walk from YouTube to showcase an exciting new YouTube site. Hunter?
Ah, new YouTube site. This might, you know, Colleen went there to work in streaming video. I wouldn't be surprised at all if
Thanks.
This is stuff Colleen knew about and So we'll be working
on. We couldn't be more excited about Google TV. We really think this is the platform that starts to bring the interactivity of the web into the living room. And so we're proud to announce the development of YouTube Leanback, which is meant to take
there's the sit forward lean back.
Hundreds of millions of videos, and then turn them into an experience that you can just lean back.
And this is, as you said, Eric, this is all about really getting YouTube on the TV.
Isn't that called Apple TV, Boxy, you know, all these other sorts of play.
There's no browsing, screen interface no searching, to YouTube. No clicking.
These are those great Google Chrome speed test ads. They were wonderful.
They were very good.
Yeah. And look at this is the new interface. Pull down our lower third here.
Channel of you. A personalized video feed that's meant to be exactly
so there was a little thumbnail scroll at the bottom.
For example, this first video was favorited by my friend Simon. He was on YouTube. He saw it.
There's
the mouse. He liked it. He favored it because we're friends.
That ain't my mouse.
Into my stream. So using Google TV, we're able to make the living room social. But you don't have to just rely on your friends. There's also lots of great content in your personal feed based upon what we think you're going to like. So, for example, here's a music video from one of my favorite artists. Now, why is this here? It's because I subscribed to his channel on YouTube, which means as he uploads new content,
are you going
to
drink
get it right away.
We've Pepsi Throwback while you watch YouTube Leanback?
Subscriptions that are just waiting for you.
Leanback is kind of bacon.
You don't have to rely on
that's right, Leanback bacon.
Beyond that, there's other ways to browse. There's a bunch of default channels of things you'd expect. Comedy, music.
This is interesting. This is an interesting. And so it's smart. I mean, if they're going to promote the idea of getting this stuff on TV, they're going to have a big screen.
This is interesting. So it's like they just showed doing a YouTube search on the TV to find the TV programs. Now they're showing using a TV remote control UI for YouTube on the.
A little confusing. Like, yeah.
My rentals. As you
what exactly do they want?
To roll out paper stream abilities for content creators on our platform. What happens is you rent that on YouTube.com and there it's they waiting go. Right here on your television.
Now I'm really confused. What am I watching?
So in all, we really believe that prior, lean back meant you had to give up control. You had to watch what somebody else programmed for you. But with YouTube Lean Back on Google TV, you're going to be able to access your personal video feed in beautiful HD on your TV at any time you want. And because developing for Google TV is just like developing for the web, this isn't a TV device, this is a web interface. And so within the next few weeks, I'm happy to announce we're going to be launching a beta of this on the YouTube website that you can access, try out for yourself, and give us feedback. So we're incredibly excited about Google TV and YouTube Lean Back. Thanks.
Thank you, Hunter. Looking forward to trying it out on my Google TV. Guys, can you please turn off your Bluetooths? Thank you.
Good luck.
Yes, all 3,000 of you.
Example, yeah. I'd like to invite Brian Perez from NBA Digital to showcase an exciting new site that he has developed.
More
for
sports. You know, somebody likes sports at Google.
I guess that shows they're really targeting a mainstream audience.
Yeah,
with these TV
yeah.
Products.
And, you know, the sports audience is the right audience because they are maybe a little bit more willing to set up and configure this kind of stuff than, say, the Desperate Housewives audience, right?
Yeah. They haven't shown any of those things, have they?
Yeah.
Now, when NBA Digital moves to a new platform, we don't simply take the same experience and just move it over, but rather we focus on creating the best possible user experience for that particular environment. With Google TV, we finally have the tools to easily deliver web content to the television.
This is the way you're going to want to watch the World Cup.
So as you can see, NBA.com has all the essential information a fan would want on their television. Scores, schedules, video, all at their fingertips in a clean, easy-to-read format. But this is TV, so let's take a look at a highlight from last night's Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals on TNT.
So I wonder if they're using WebM, if they're using Flash. I guess it doesn't matter. This box does it all.
Now, we've worked to optimize our video encodes to deliver the best quality for the higher screen sizes.
Tell me how. And?
Go full screen.
He has to move the mouse to that little box.
We've also implemented media key functionality. Ugh. So the user can easily pause.
Ugh.
Play,
if they do end up showing a device that it's more easy to use than a mouse, I would say that in terms of just a keynote, you know, you'd never see Steve Jobs show you something where the whole time you're thinking, oh, this will never work.
Right. And then they show you something better. Yeah, no, it's bad planning.
You show them that first,
and
then you
or you don't show them the crappy stuff.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, that you know, this isn't lean back at this point. This is,
yeah, this is turn
sit
off.
Sit forward. I mean, yeah.
What is this buffering?
Fiddle.
This is fiddle, yeah.
Fiddle TV.
So, the original web TV tried really hard because TVs then were really low res. They were effectively 320/240. And now the TVs are the highest res screen in the house in many cases. But they need to think about what they display on it. And they don't seem to be doing that.
Right.
You know, I'm frustrated by the Comcast thing treating my HDTV as if it was that low res.
That's right.
But they seem to be, you know, this is just like I'm plugged the Mac into the TV. You know, I've got that issue already. I have to just sit there and, you know, hit zoom in all the time to make the thing usable.
Right.
You think they'd have actually thought about that a little bit.
Next, I'd like to bring Brittany back on stage.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yay.
Android applications. Brittany.
You're watching live coverage of Google I.O. Day 2. Thanks to Slingbox. Watch Slingbox. Use Slingbox to watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home. Now available at Best Buy. Visit Slingbox.com. This actually does. This would work with the Google TV, I have to point out.
For your Android phone.
Because it would plug into the Slingbox. So,
what time is it? Okay.
Oh, dear.
Great. And today, we are excited to announce that it's also coming to your television. One lesson I'd like to tell all of you developers when we get back to listen. We're going to go back to listen.
Oh, boy. Wow.
If you have a Bluetooth device, can you please turn it off? It's interfering with our keyboard.
Oh, come on. You should have thought about that.
Okay.
Kids.
The learning for all of
get
you
an RF keyboard,
is
please.
Not to name your applications too early. Listen and watch as the
now. Remember, a consumer who's going to watch this is going to say, "Oh, do I have to turn off my Bluetooth to have this work?"
And it includes the same functionalities as it has on your phone. You can search, subscribe.
Or do I have to?
There's a lean back version of the marketplace.
Today,
it looks like.
You can also access
it's listen.
Oh, this is listen. Okay, so a lean back listen.
It's a directory where you can discover new video podcast.
That's us.
So let's check one of these out.
Yes.
Touchville is one of my favorites.
Oh, crap.
Let's try that one.
We tried.
Huh?
At least it's in the family.
And once we click into Techzilla, we can actually see a list of results with all
eventually.
The different podcast episodes that we can watch. Uh-huh. It's live HD video podcast right on your television.
There's Mac break anyway.
We're having trouble with our keyboards, so we're not going.
That's fine. So let me tell you about how this works.
Because I can't show you.
We do a bunch of different screen layouts for the different device types you have. And the Listen team has developed a single binary that works on the TV and on the phone. It's using Google's back-end feed infrastructure so that you can continue to access all of your subscriptions on all of your devices. They all stay in sync. So another interesting thing that Google TV lets developers do is syndicate search results into our quick search box. So if you could bring down the quick search box, let me show you how it works. And if we can't bring it down, then I'll tell you how it works.
Good for you, Britt.
One of my other favorite podcasts is TED Talks. In the quick search box, I can type in TED Talks. And you see, I get the standard set of Google TV search results.
Looking for me, so I think.
There's also a link at the bottom that says more results. If I click on that link, I'm now able to search within.
I'm actually thrilled that Listen is on here. I mean, and that they've got a big version, big screen version of Listen. That's very good for us.
Listen is Android's podcasting client.
Yeah, and I presume that MediaFly would redo our app to MediaFly is that does the Twit app, and I'm sure that they would redo it to have a better experience as well. I'm sure they're working on it right now.
That works on our team. He recently moved here.
Give me a minute.
Okay.
Just to catch up. Thank you.
He recently moved here from one of our international offices, and his wife moved with him. She doesn't speak English, so she's been having a really hard time watching U.S. television because she can't get the subtitles on her TV here in the States. So the engineer started thinking, and he decided to take the closed captioning feed already available on his television and the openly available Google Translate APIs. And he created a new translate feature for Google TV. So let me show you how it works.
Now that's an interesting idea.
That's cool.
Yeah. Hope it works better than the YouTube captioning.
With a couple keystrokes, I now have subtitles for whatever language
I dear.
Want. It's that
Oh, easy. Dear.
Here's a couple examples
I think it's using the YouTube captioning.
Google TV. Thank you.
Oh, dear. Those are quite comedic, YouTube captions.
One reason you didn't see the translation there is because we had ads here and our keyboards are not working as well, so couldn't rewind it. But what you would have seen is actually at the bottom of the screen, you would have seen things in Chinese, and you could just see it.
And the reason it's in Chinese is so you won't know how poor the transcription is.
The only way this demo could get worse is if they actually showed the Chinese captions.
Yeah, show YouTube captioning, please.
And Google TV is an open platform. It is you who matter. And because it is an open platform, you are the most important part of it.
Web 641 says it'd be quicker to learn English than learn to get this crap working.
Meanwhile, please sign up on google.com/TV, and we'll keep you updated of all the developments at our end. We're looking forward to being in touch with you. I'd like to now invite Rishi back on stage to talk about partners and timelines. Thank you very much. Rishi?
I mean, I know I'll be buying one of these, but whether I'll, you know.
However much it costs, we know you need it.
No matter how much. Well, I have to.
You usually don't have 4,000 people in your living room, so hopefully it won't happen again. All right. So like Ambrish mentioned, this has huge potential for you. Right? Because if you look at it, traditionally, the living room and the entire TV ecosystem has been closed, fragmented, and totally inaccessible. You've never had a chance to really engage with those users spending 5 hours a day in front of this device. Well, today, that can change. Our goal with Google TV is to create an entire new category of devices that are built around openness. Open for users to go wherever they want on the open web. Open for developers to create new applications specifically targeted for the living room. And open to content owners to create new experiences around their existing content and new ways to distribute it. Your TV just got a lot smarter. And our goal is to have the same impact on the TV experience that the smartphone has.
So Steve Jobs sitting at home watching this going, yeah, go for it, guys, enjoy. That Apple TV thing worked out so well for us.
To take the platform and push it forward, whether it be a manufacturer, an operator, distributor, or more. And the only way we do that is if we are open as well. So I'm also happy to announce that what you saw today, the Google TV platform, will be open sourced into both the Android and Chrome source trees.
Fantastic. That's fantastic news. That means anybody could build a box, I presume.
Unless how does it work into the Chrome
proprietary
source tree?
What do
they mean by that? Now we've talked a lot about
well,
the platform.
Well, the code that they had to develop.
For just the browser?
It's one major
yeah,
question.
And so the Android source tree. So basically, you'll have access. I don't know how much code you'll have access
to,
and there may be proprietary hardware.
We're coming in a big way. Because we've partnered with some of the world's leading consumer electronics brands, as well as those leading the TV ecosystem, to deliver three Google
I guess
TV
Apple
devices.
Could
the first
encapsulate this capability into an Apple TV if it wanted to.
Called Sony. One of the leading innovators. Thank you.
Tepid applause.
One of the leading innovators in consumer electronics and on the television itself. They will be launching
but really bad at
a
software.
Full line of integrated TVs and an integrated Blu-ray player.
Interesting. So they're taking second, the Android approach. They want to be the operating system for all of the TV
right.
devices.
Right. And I'm sure they're giving it away or maybe even using that freemium
model. They will
model.
Be launching a companion box, which allows you to easily
that's
integrate
what we want,
TV
right?
within your
this is the Roku
setup.
Version. How much?
And the great thing is they're going to be creating an entire new set of peripherals around Google TV.
So can I upgrade my Sony TV that's got a CPU in it to run this thing?
Hell no. What are you, crazy?
Chipset. We've partnered with Intel. Intel will be powering all three of these devices with their Intel
year.
Atom processor, which can allow us to have a great experience.
Oh, that's
TV
interesting. So it's Android on Intel.
Atom.
And it's coming in fall 2010.
So has there been an Android on Intel before, or is it all ARM?
Not that I've seen. They've all been ARMs as far as I can tell.
That's very
so far.
Interesting.
That is
be
interesting.
Exciting year. But there's more. We've also partnered with Dish Network. We've actually been working with Dish for several months now on this platform to really get the user experience
Dish
right.
Dish and DirecTV
and
are huge competition,
on an
of course.
Google TV experience using the IP control protocol that Vincent actually mentioned earlier. So Dish subscribers
And EchoStar, by the way, yeah,
integrate their DVR and DVD content Dish into the Google TV experience. And then finally, we need a way to get it into your hands. So we've partnered with Best Buy, the nation's leading consumer electronics company, to get these products directly into your hands in an easy way. All right, so what's the timeline for developers? Well, like Ambrish mentioned, today you can start taking your existing sites and enhancing them.
Owns Sling, even though who is the sponsor of
early 2011,
our coverage,
we'll be launching the Android market with an over-the-air update.
I can just say this is a happy coincidence.
TV SDK and TV web
we love Dish, and we love Sling.
And then finally, summer 2011, we will open source the platform into the Android and Chrome source trees.
Okay. So they're not going to open source it until these partners have a year
for users,
to work with it. They get an exclusive for a year.
At that point, you think
that makes sense
for anyone to put into their
own
device.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that's a then Sony and Logitech and Dish have a year leg up.
One that's built on openness.
It's the same thing we did with Android with the phones. It's never annoying, but it makes sense from a hardware manufacturer point of view.
Right. You got to give people exclusives or they're not going to adopt it.
So to talk a little bit more about our partnerships as well as the overall Google TV vision, I'd like to introduce Eric Schmidt, CEO of Google.
Eric Schmidt. You're watching live coverage of Google I.O. Day 2. Leo Laporte, Eric Lanigan, Kevin Marks.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Slingbox. Use Slingbox to watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home. Now available at Best Buy and Slingbox.com.
Years ago, I sat in the equivalent of this room and people talked about the notion of getting your television guide integrated with the television. 10 years ago, Web TV and other companies of its kind said maybe we should find a way to integrate the way you communicate and the way you use the web onto your television. We've been waiting a long, long time for today. It took a lot to make this happen. Let's start with what it took. It took the internet. It took extraordinarily fast CPUs, DSPs, a whole new architecture around software, the winning of open source, and all of the platforms that you've seen. It's much harder to marry a 50-year-old technology and a brand new technology than those of us from the brand new technology area thought. Of the things that we did, and you saw in the demo, you saw the full potential of cloud computing. You saw the ability to actually go from the server to the client, in this case, the television, and you could even program it. And program it using the powerful tools that we all use every day.
Former Apple board member Eric Schmidt.
And it turned out to be fundamental.
Now CEO of Google.
We needed a whole ecosystem of partners. What I'd like to do is to bring the CEOs of some significant...
Now you have to wonder if this is what he was talking to Steve Jobs right about at that famous coffee shop meeting a few months ago.
Paul.
Saying, Steve, we're going to do an Apple TV, just so you know.
I'm going to go ahead and have a seat.
Steve saying,
Howard Stringer, CEO,
knock yourself out, Eric. So he's bringing out the CEOs.
Thank you very much, Howard.
Serious crowd.
Serious crowd, yes. They're engineers, Howard. They're our customers. Jerry Quinlan, Logitech.
I like the porno music.
Thank you.
That's good.
Charlie Ergen is the CEO of the Dish Network.
Charlie Ergen.
There he goes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The music is so cool relative to these men that it seems almost mocking.
Thank you.
Charlie's quite the character.
And,
he's very well known in the business.
Best Buy.
This will be available at Best Buy, the Logitech box at least, and of course the Sony TVs.
Hi, Brian. Nice to serve you. Thank you very much. And Shantanu Narayan, the most interestingly controversial person in the last few weeks, certainly involving Flash, the CEO of Adobe. Shantanu.
For the next 45 minutes.
What I thought I would do is ask a few questions of everybody, and we sort of run over. I think that it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal set of demos and announcements. Paul, you and I have talked a lot about the future of Intel. The things that you're doing. The Atom processor turns out to be really, really key in all
this.
This
is very interesting, Kevin. You picked it up. That the choice of Atom is very interesting.
Why is it not just a generic?
What do they get by going leaving arm.
There's two things about this chip that are inside the TVs and the boxes that you described.
Price?
One is it is a version of Atom.
Power.
So we bring the full processing capability of Intel that you expect, the software compatibility, the web compatibility is all there with the performance of today's netbook, notebook kind of products. But we've put around the Atom a bunch of specialized circuitry for these devices that are the things that are expected in high-performance consumer electronics, high HD video, encoding, decoding, very high-performance graphics and so forth. The combination of the two gives you the ability to have that Internet experience but also the CE experience.
When you all built the Atom processor, was this the use that you intended? Was it a broader video platform
No.
that you foresaw?
We were praying no one would buy it. There's no margin.
There's applications around Atom today that are just popping up, from televisions to smartphones to smart cars.
Intel owns Scale, which is
our view of the microprocessor.
Mobile processor.
It's a transformational technology. It makes the things it goes into smarter. And when you combine that with that capability with the Internet and wonderful software, you get new capabilities that will change the industries in ways that we haven't seen before.
So in this sense, it's an extension of the Intel platform strategy.
Absolutely.
At a fundamental level. And Shantanu, we've had a lot of fun in the press. You've been on the other side of an awful lot of stuff. Flash roughly is used by 100% of the web, but it might be 99.97%. So why is Flash so important to this? What is Flash going to be used for in this new platform? Why are we fighting for Flash?
Well, Eric, first, I think it's tremendously exciting announcements here. Thanks for having us. I think it really is all about engaging experiences on the web. And as was discussed, really the convergence of getting that content and applications to any device that people wish to consume those content and applications on, whether it's a smartphone on Android, whether it's TV, or whether it's a PC. And as far as we're concerned, this is really about trying to create family harmony. So if Rishi's family can get Elmo
when
they want...
We've got some disharmony with some of our family members right now.
Flash, and it works as advertised across all of these different devices. And I think for all of the content creators here, we'd love to get them an opportunity to be able to express their creativity and get it across all of this set of devices.
And please use Unity.
What is it special about Flash in this platform? There's clearly hardware acceleration. Is there something that Flash does special here that makes this more interactive, zippier? You know, what's
surprised NVIDIA is not on the stage here. I guess Intel wouldn't want that.
Why are you using Flash?
Well, we're working on 10.1, and I think we announced
10.1 Flash.
Flash, and we announced today that we're going to have a public beta on Android. and what we've had to do really was to take into account some of the key issues to get it to really sing on these devices. So things like battery.
What if the Apple ARM Nexus is one of the reasons Intel is
really
sitting on this stage
entire
today?
The power of the web, whether it's high
definition. Yeah, because all the Androids
video,
are ARMs too. ARM is just like the perfect mobile processor.
Most of the casual gaming now on the web is in Flash.
Would ARM make sense in a TV box
so
like this?
A ton of work with Sony and with Google.
It may not be as well optimized. I think you know the thing that is that the Intel chips are used to driving large screens in desktop CPUs. So
right.
I can see that this means it seems a natural thing if you're not as worried about power.
Sony is
right.
So
God bless you.
I think it's really interesting that yesterday Google was all about HTML5, and today Eric Schmidt just said they're fighting for Flash.
What is in fact the state of the television industry?
I think Google's attitude, which makes a lot of sense, is to be agnostic.
From my perspective,
right.
Now having seen the full demo, including some Bluetooth issues, it's much broader than I thought, because it's maybe possible that people will spend as much time or more watching something other than television on their televisions.
Yeah, I think it is thrilling, and I agree with you. I mean, I was watching demonstration here today, which showed what can be accomplished. I mean, it was stressful with everybody's Bluetooth on and phones on and so forth. So it was a fairly stressful experience. But when you put all this, as we've done for the fall, into the world's first internet television, all that will be simplified and made seamless, so that the opportunities that you demonstrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
are just mind-boggling. I mean, it's essentially evolving all the time. It's upgradable all the time. The more you find out about the internet, the more entertainment you find for yourself. Not just existing content, but reality content, what you can do with each other, your families, and so forth, the good and the bad and the ugly. And all of this is plausible on this feature. And when we launch it in the fall, with everything integrated.
Did I just hear that? When we launch this in the fall.
That would be this year.
This year. Which, by the way, might be for the Christmas buying season.
Pardon? Yeah, well, that's why we're being very
Eric, Best Buy at the moment. That's why we made the slide.
We appreciate the love, Howard. We really do.
May it be returned.
Yeah. Oh, indeed. A little back and forth with the CEO of Best Buy.
So, you know, Sony is and we at Google, we always use Sony as sort of the definition of an innovative company. Just one interesting idea after the other. Sometimes hugely successful, sometimes not as successful, but a passion of innovation that started from literally the founding of the firm. Do you foresee using this kind of a platform more broadly? How will you, in fact, take Sony forward with some of this new technology that you've seen? And not just the Google TV, but the integration with all the devices and things like that. Well, we already did, for example, the Sony Ericsson product. We talked about this.
Yeah, I wanted to plug Sony Ericsson after that HTC wonderful plug you gave. Sony Ericsson phone is not available in the United States yet in great numbers. But
there are Android really, Sony Ericsson handsets. They sell them in China right now.
Dominating Japan. It is the
we
number
never
one
use the word dominate,
Japan.
Howard. Well, is the most successful in Japan.
Significant market share.
Significant market share.
No, when you beat Apple, you dominate.
Oh, there's the Apple word. First use of the
definition.
A word.
You guys
even though Apple's been the subtext all morning.
No, this is a wonderful relationship that we expect to expand into other hardware and beyond. I mean, we are fairly giddy with excitement at this new relationship. You're a partner with whom we have no fear.
With whom you have no fear.
that's fairly unusual in our business.
Sony has partnered with Apple for a long time. They made their laptops.
So is he implying they fear Apple? So,
I think that's the implication, yeah.
So for the people who are not going to run out to Best Buy and buy a brand new Sony television or whatever it is Howard is up to with these guys, what was interesting in reading about Logitech, you guys are the largest manufacturers of remotes, among other things.
Harmony.
I think of Logitech as my keyboard, my mouse.
Eric is not really a techie, I have to say.
Yeah. I think it's probably a safe bet.
He's a techie.
He seems constantly surprised by things like, you make remotes?
Webcams.
Unless he's just being a little disingenuous.
Innovating in the living room for several years now, in a lot of products and in a lot of areas, but most notably through our line of remote controls called Harmony, which I think probably, there you go.
Yeah, a few users out there.
We've got some customers in the room.
And we've been very successful, but... You know, we felt that the biggest opportunity in the living room, as excited as we are about how well we've done with Harmony, we felt for a long time the biggest opportunity in the living room is really what Rishi was talking about, which is it's this combination of TV content and the web and bringing it all together in a seamless open platform, and that's why we're so excited about Google TV. Obviously, what we're looking at, frankly, Eric, is the opportunity to do what we've done successfully for 25 years around the PC, which is create a whole new ecosystem of peripherals around Google TV.
Now you're going to ship this box, right?
Right.
What will I
How
do
much?
With the box?
How much?
I want this now, as you know.
Yeah.
We had this conversation. What do I do with the box? I just plug it in?
Yeah, I mean, so we will be providing, as was called out earlier by Rishi, a companion box. And with that companion box, you will get a controller. And the controller integrates a keyboard.
Is this controller that's going to work better than the one we used?
Yeah.
like a Harmony.
So you've got a controller with a keyboard, and it has remote control capabilities basically integrated into it. So we will ship that in the fall. Sir
which
Howard.
Which year?
This year.
This year.
Time
Thank
for
you.
Christmas.
Just getting it on
Absolutely.
Record.
But what you will need to do, we've made it very simple. Basically, if you're one of the 60 million HD TV households in the U.S., you are a target for this product. Basically, all you need is an HDMI input, and it's pretty easy to set up and get going.
I'm going to come to Christmas at the end with Best Buy. So let's ask Charlie.
I'm assuming you need to plug it into the cable and into the internet.
Well, that's what's interesting. Yeah, what kind of connection are you going to need here?
And will it pass the DHCP on? Or
I'm sure it'll have HTCP in it, but you're right. You've got to put your source devices through it. Otherwise, it's not going to do the TV thing.
Has there ever been another consumer set-top device that's superimposed over an HDMI signal?
Only the cable box. I mean, that's the cable box, right?
Over HDMI, though. To some degree, it's you represent internal, processing
the traditional structure as well as this new
structure. Yeah, I see what you're saying, that you could superimpose it. Well, I don't see how you'd...
How will these devices...
The TV could do it.
How will they change
it? It seems like a broadcast and like a downstream tier, you know?
Right.
You've obviously bet big time on this. You must believe that it's going to be a big phenomena, right, for your subscribers. Presumably, you'll continue your even higher growth rate as a result. Tell me how it plays out for you.
Well, we think it's going to grow our business, and we think it opens opportunity. We always felt that good business is giving our customers what they want or what they may not know they want, but we believe they want, and kind of get ahead of it. So we already know our customers watch TV, and then they go to another room, to their study or their office or somewhere else in the house, and they watch stuff on the computer.
Charlie's so
a
geek,
they
by
want
the
to
way.
Combine those two
this,
things.
This guy's one of the most interesting people in the business.
You know, we've been thinking about this for about 10 years.
He does a show on Dish called Charlie Chat, and I've been on. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Oh, wow. What does he talk about?
Bought by Microsoft and built
geeky stuff a lot of times.
DVR and a web experience that was a dial-up, so it was just ahead of its time.
But he had a lot of guts. He launched rockets. I mean, this guy put satellites up. This guy's crazy.
When we started working with Google about 3 years on advertising and
EchoStar's done very well.
As you guys started looking at Google TV over the last couple of years, we were happy to get involved in the process pretty early on, so that seamless experience is going to be more seamless with Dish Network than with any other video provider. So that means your DVR is going to function in a more seamless way. You're not going to have to. It's going to be
Kevin. I don't think we'll see the CEO of the Pirate Bay.
Switching the web to linear TV. People are still going to watch the World Series, the Super Bowl. Or a 3D movie, they're still going
to
watch.
So I'm guessing the only way to have that full, that universal search that we saw where it found not only on Fox, but the same show on Hulu. And
you're internet connected, and you've got to have the sources coming in. I don't know how.
Through Dish.
Yeah.
Because everything else is just HDMI. That can't search and connect.
Right. Through Dish, or if you're on cable, I don't know what you do. You're right. That's a very interesting question.
Yeah,
it's not really been explored before.
I don't know how the Logitech box is
going to work.
Well, they were saying universal remote. Maybe it just talks to that through the information.
Ah, perhaps. Yeah, you get a harmony. That would make sense.
How do you see? What are some of the things that you've learned in running an analytical television business as opposed to the traditional ones?
Well, I think the analytics do two things for us. One is it allows us to give a better product to our customers, so we can make recommendations.
Okay.
Right. So you watch a Jimmy Stewart old Western movie, and maybe we're going to put up a Glenn Ford movie because
remember,
we know
Dish is in a death battle with DirecTV.
The second thing we know is that from an advertiser point of view,
much like XM and Sirius were
our customers,
at each other's
And they
throats.
Want to reach customers out
you
there.
You think this will give them a leg up?
Give them a better path.
Well, it's one of the reasons they're doing it, I'm sure. Yeah, you know, DirecTV is kind of a half-partner with TiVo. So.
Well, that's right.
To reach your customers. That's going to be better for customers because...
Jimmy Stewart there is Charlie Ergen. He's
a
CEO of a Dish.
It might be more appealing to me. So I think all those things go hand in hand. And I think it's important that at Dish Network, we want to work with everybody in this room. Many of the applications that we saw here today, there's no question, are going to be hugely popular applications. But I would predict that this room out there, people out there will invent new applications that'll be even superior to what we saw today. And we're going to make sure that you can work with Dish Network so you can do that in a more seamless way.
Right, which is in fact why we're announcing all this now. So Brian, what I particularly like about you all is that you are the surviving and strongest and growing national retailer in the things that every single person in this audience cares about. Literally every single person here is a huge customer, right? When you think about the Christmas, and as I understand your industry, the profits really do come at Christmas, right? It really is a retail business in the most
It is certainly disproportionate.
In just a most brutal kind of way. And these businesses are often mature now. So how do you see this playing out? You see this driving new traffic? Do you see this setting a new price point? It's a whole ecosystem. It's more than a spot on your aisle. It's really sort of a whole new aisle, if you will.
So a couple things. One, Eric, we share your enthusiasm for the fact that we're a survivor. We feel really great about that. That's one. Two, we have a saying inside Best Buy that this is the most important holiday Christmas selling season in the history of the company, and it's true every single year. What we're really enthusiastic about with what we've seen with Google TV and what we think it means is you're right. It's not just a new aisle. We think of it as an entirely new category, the smart TV, which we think, when properly demonstrated and properly...
properly demonstrated. That's all. That's all we ask.
...challenges they face today. Let me give you an example of what happens. And I think this is absolutely how people are living today. So you're sitting in your family room or your home theater, wherever it is you watch, and you're sitting with the people you care about and you're watching a basketball game. Invariably, in my house anyway, I'm sitting there with my laptop, my sons have their laptops, and we're arguing the age-old question, Kobe versus LeBron, and we're having a very spirited debate,
sports,
and everybody's
sports
pulling
talk
up their
is
facts.
Thick in this,
this is
conference.
Really the first seamless experience I've seen.
Will this bring people towards TV, especially young people who don't all the statistics show they don't watch TV. If they watch TV content, it's on a laptop.
Real time.
Right.
And I think it is absolutely
compelling. Or could this be dying off with that generation of people who have lived only on the TV?
Right.
Do this. And again, I think it opens up an entirely new category. And from a Best Buy perspective, we're pretty excited. We have 180,000 blue shirts out there that are pretty fired up about this new category. And we got 20,000 geeks in case.
Oh, don't say the Geek Squad or you're going to get booed off the stage.
Be careful here. In the world, it doesn't always work seamlessly. So we're really
so what I was thinking, again, one
all
of the
we want to know is how much.
So well
and nobody's saying.
What you call the blue shirts. Yep. And the service quality is phenomenal in the store.
As opposed to the brown shirts? I don't know. The blue shirts? What?
It will
maybe
be
not
new
the
idea
best image.
That you're going to have to actually demonstrate it to them.
Yeah,
you have to actually see it to get excited about it.
You do. In fact, I was fortunate enough to get an in-depth demo last Friday. And when it is explained to you and you actually see what it is,
you
can
actually
do
see a demo that works.
It's compelling. In fact, I need one.
And did they demonstrate what they mean at all or what
right
they meant
now,
when they said
Howard,
that every ad will be interactive?
Well, on Android, it will. Now, that's a good point, is that they're going to do it on the phone, and I guess they should do it on the TV. And,
well, they said they did, but I don't think they demonstrated it.
Well, they showed it on the phone, where you could put videos and so forth. So, yeah, that's what this is all about. This is a dramatic ad plat. This is an ad platform, isn't it?
Third party developers and so forth. I mean, the opportunity to expand this universe above and beyond, I mean, it's evolutionary because it will continue to evolve, and it's upgradable. So you think of it in a whole new way. It's active television. It's not only interactive, it's proactive as it grows and grows and grows and creates opportunities for people all over America and ultimately all over the world. It really is a very big deal. I can't stress that enough.
And it's utterly, you can personalize it. It is your experience in a way that I think is going to be very, very compelling. Yeah.
So I'm getting the hook from Vic. We're having such a good time.
He had a long time on the stage.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, what's the combined salary of these seven CEOs?
Our partners is that we
it probably approaches a billion.
I would think, platform and
build at least a half a billion.
Things
yeah, Eric gets a dollar.
Not yet conceived of.
Is he the highest paid there?
He gets a dollar.
Volume. We have
say again?
Eric's salary is a dollar.
A dollar? Oh, he's one of those dollar guys. But you got to include the options.
Your precious time.
I'm sure his options are worth something right
dollar
now.
Dollar guys are so shady.
I think to really not, a not dollar. Just define television in a new way, but ultimately to define...
Eric made his money at Novell. Is that what you're saying,
No, I'm saying he made his money from the 10% of Google hands.
Yeah, that's the key.
A very, very exciting, from my perspective, beginning. And I want to thank everybody for spending so much time here, the commitments from your companies, and all of the work you guys are going to do with all of us to make this happen.
Is he really an expert on networking? When you say he's a geek, Kevin, what would you say his area of expertise is?
He's written code. He knows
he's coded
around stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All
he's not. You know, he's not just some random dude. He couldn't cope at Google if he wasn't a geek.
Right. This is the vehicle connectivity they talked about with the Chevy Volt will include OnStar is now going to start including is going to be on and based on Android, I understand.
Ladies and gentlemen, please move directly to your second floor sessions. Don't forget to stop by the agenda board on the second floor next year.
So this is an ad for the Volt and the Android apps.
Many of which cover what you just saw in
and OnStar.
Thank you.
My name is Steve Ross. I'm here in the OnStar Engineering Lab. What I'd like to do is show you some of the latest things we've been working on with the OnStar mobile application for the Chevrolet Volt on the Android platform.
It's also on iPhone, too. In fact, I played with the iPhone app when I drove the Volt at South by Southwest.
We're adding a mapping feature integration with some OnStar backend services.
But it's interesting that the GPS
really nifty voice-based point of interest searches.
We'll link to OnStar.
Google's Ajax APIs for local search. We can show the vehicle's location on the map, but what I want to show is voice search. So let me search.
Meanwhile, they're charging the car.
A popular place here in Detroit called Greektown. Greektown, Detroit, Michigan. So right now it's sending the route down to my Volt.
532 Monroe Street is 3/4 of a mile away.
Now OnStar doesn't necessarily have a screen, so this we'll also talk you through it. You're watching live coverage of Google I.O. Day 2, the second keynote, which we're wrapping up right now. And with us, Kevin Marks. Kevin, it's great to have you. Thank you for joining us. Eric Lanigan is in studio with me. Any thoughts as they wrap up the keynote, Kevin? Anything in particular that you'd like to highlight?
It was interesting seeing the tension between the two halves of it, because the yesterday was all about HTML5 and openness. The first half of this was all about Android and improving that connected to the web. And then the TV stuff seems to step back a bit. And they were saying, oh, well, we support Flash. Don't use VP6, only use 264. We haven't got the fonts that we launched the other stuff. And it feels like this bit is like lagging behind quite a bit from the rest. And that may just be because the manufacturing lag of building this stuff into a TV means they have to have had it finished by now so they can ship it for the fall. But it just seemed that there was a bit of disconnect between the messages there.
Are the outlines of a global strategy for Google now coming clear, or is it just they're pushing? You know, Apple, you can say there's a coherent kind of strategy to get Apple everywhere. Is that what Google's up to, or is this just pushing out little feelers in various directions?
Google's coherent strategy is that they want everyone to be able to search on everything, and that they're prepared to open up the web and open up devices to make that possible. So, you know, this is like another iteration of the Android strategy to say, okay, it would be really nice if phones were better at using the web. We're prepared to invest a lot of money in building an operating system to do that. This is a similar thing for the TV sets. And I think, you know, Sony are very keen on that because they've not had a good experience in building up their own operating systems or using Microsoft's up to now.
Right. So it is part of an overall strategy just to get Google search everywhere.
And the ads,
they didn't show it, but there will clearly be the capability for developers to write these interactive ads in the Google TV, just as they can or they're going to be able to on Android. That's interesting as well. Yeah.
I mean, the other interesting thing for me was that this is expanding the Android vision, because, you know, we do Android dev here, and we were looking at this saying, okay, what can we? Are all the Android platforms running ARM? It looks like they are. That makes some interesting stuff about what we could do about native.
How hard
code.
Is that to do? Is that cross? Is just a cross compile, or
should just be cross compile? It should just be a C compiler and have two binaries. I mean, the basic Android system is built on the Dalvik, which is a Java-like VM. You can't actually call it Java because of complicated technical legal reasons.
Oh, that's interesting.
But basically, therefore it's running bytecode, which means you can run it on different CPUs. But up to now, all the devices we've seen have been ARM devices. So now they've said, here's a bunch of Intel-based devices that'll be running on these set-top boxes. So that's interesting. So that means that they've actually sort of expanded the platform a bit there.
Yeah,
that's closer to what Apple have, because they have Intel in the laptops,
right,
and the desktops, and ARM in the foldable ones.
Right. So. But a big change for Android, but an extension of what Android's capable of.
Yeah.
Kevin, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
We had a second this week in Google.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Kevin Marks, Ribbit.com at British Telecom. And we love having him on because he's a smart guy. I don't know Some of you will know the name because Kevin did work at Google for some time. In fact, was the kind of, so she says, not evangelist, but advocate for open social at Google. He also worked at Apple, where he was responsible for QuickTime and iChat. So he's got a great pedigree in this particular area. Mm-hmm. And Eric, it's really nice to have you here. Eric Lanigan is our newest star on the Twit Network. Eric was upstairs in the back end. He was one of our editors and said a couple of weeks ago, hey, I'd really like to do this tech talkback thing after the day is done. And I just open up the lines. And it's been, I think, in some say, the best show on Twit. So thank you for doing
that. Thanks. Thank you so much for letting me do
people
it.
People love
it. It's just been great.
Yeah, people
and
really love
it. This
was
so much fun today. Thanks for letting me sit down here with
always
you.
Always a pleasure. Yeah.
And, well, make snarky comments over people's failing keynote presentations.
Yesterday we had Tom Merritt do the snark. Today, snark brought to you by Eric and Leo. Thank you for being here. And we do thank our friends at Slingbox for making this possible. Of course, this is something that we're going to try to do more of on the network, which is breaking news coverage. As you know, it's been one of the things that has driven the most traffic to Twit Live is big stories like this, keynotes, things like that. So. Sling came to us and said, hey, we'd like to sponsor those to help you fund them. And that's fantastic. So thank you very much to Slingbox. We invite you to take a look. By the way, Slingbox is owned by Charlie Ergen, who's on stage there, by the EchoStar folks. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all to see some integration into Sling with this
That'd
kind of
cool.
stuff. Yeah. Slingbox is the greatest way to watch your favorite TV shows when you're not at home, or even when you are at home, but just in a different room via the internet. Now available at Best Buy. I think we have another tie in there. You can find more about Slingbox at slingbox.com. Thank you, Sling, for Sling Media for providing sponsorship for our breaking news coverage. We're about to go into, and by the way, I don't know if you noticed, but they changed the Twit Live. We changed the Twit Live page when we do this to reflect the breaking news.
And it goes red alert.
Yeah, so this will be a way for you when we're in a breaking news mode, a way for you to see that we are in fact. Doing breaking news, we'll have the red and the breaking news logo up there. And the whole idea of the network for me, of course, we started with podcasts with audio only. We now do audio and video for all the shows, or almost all, soon to be all the shows. And the whole idea for me was to also get this real-time streaming stuff up and running so that we can give you coverage as things happen. And adding Tom Merritt as part of that, we're also going to hire Sarah Lane, I'm glad to announce, as a full-time employee. So we'll have two more anchors. And more shows coming. Tom's show, Tech News Today, which will cover daily the latest tech developments, will be on every Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 2:30 p.m. Pacific, 21:30 UTC. And, of course, it'll come out as an audio and video podcast, too. And we've got some really good people who will be joining Tom. It's going to be a lot like Buzz Out Loud. there'll be a lot of the same kind of energy and feel, and some of the people who are going to join him will be great. And Eric, I hope, and I haven't told you yet, but I hope that you will be a part of that Buzz Out Loud team every afternoon.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah, Tom, just yesterday we met.
He's asked you to do that.
He wants me to do the to engineer.
So we have to figure out your schedule, but can you sit here every day at 2:30?
All
right. So
I would love to.
I think
to.
Eric will be part of that show as well, which really makes me happy. So thank you, everybody, for being here. We're going to go to security now in just a few minutes. We do take these live specials. Eric chops them up, and we put them on our, or maybe Tony did yesterday, but maybe Eric will do it today, put them out on our Twit Specials feed. If you haven't yet subscribed to that, that is one of our podcast feeds. You can find that if you go to twit.tv. Is it /specials? What is the twit.tv
link?
Oh,
I don't
link?
Know, actually.
I don't know either.
Is,
it
that's
should
the
be.
Name of the-
that's our standard.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know.
And Leo, can we plug a Tech Talk back today at 7:30
yeah,
p.m.
That?
Pacific? If you guys watching and listening out there want to call in and give your thoughts and opinions on what has transpired today and yesterday at the Google keynotes, I'll be taking your calls live for about an hour to an hour and a half later tonight at 7:30 Pacific. So go ahead and call in.
That's live only, by the way. We don't yet put that out. Because it's very topical. I think we probably won't put that out as a podcast. And I want to give Eric the freedom to kind of have fun and be relaxed and not have to worry about it living forever on the internet. It is twit.tv/specials. If you subscribe, you see we already have yesterday's Google I.O. keynote out. We'll have keynote 2 with our commentary out as quickly as we can. You can subscribe to that in iTunes, at the Zune store, anywhere you go. But the easiest way to subscribe, as always, is to go to twit.tv and you'll see an audio and video subscription drop down. So you can pick iTunes, Google, Winamp, Zune. It's PCAST. If you've got there are a few other podcast clients you can use PCAST with, or you could just get the RSS feed and plug that into whatever you use, including Google Listen. I guess we should put a Google Listen link. Start putting a Google Listen link up there, Dane, because that's looks like that's the podcast platform for TV.
Thank you all for being here, and we'll see you next time. I'm Leo Laporte with Eric Lanigan.
Thanks for joining us for our coverage of Google I/O Day 2.